Honorable members, good morning. So we can start with our meeting. We'd like to welcome the officials of the department, our provincial managers who are representing the provinces. We are thankful that we have our old managers here with us today. Tate Mabunda and Tate Zika are the oldest provincial managers of the department. You are all welcome to Parliament. I'm not sure if, I think it will be proper for us to introduce ourselves since this is our first meeting with the provincial manager so that they know who they are talking to. And after that, we will afford the time to Mr. Major Kobese, who is leading the delegation. He is the one who will lead the delegation and will introduce the provincial managers to us. Let me start by introducing myself. My name is Vivi Maunye, a member of the Portfolio Committee of Home Affairs.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Per Peterson Madonna. I'm a member of Home Affairs.
Morning, I'm Pocha Sabon, a member of the Portfolio Committee.
Good morning, all. My name is Annette Lovemore, also a member of this committee.
Good morning, Helen Makuba, a member of the Portfolio Committee and Home Affairs.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Graham and my surname is McIntosh, for the sake of our Home Affairs officials.
Good morning. I'm Noka MDC, a member of the committee.
Then we will give to Mr. Kobese. Oh,
Honorable Mr. Kobese, please introduce yourself. Moloni Umasizole Mncasela, ilungu lale committee.
Thank you. Over to you, the Dekobe.
Morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Member of the Portfolio Committee. My name is Major Kobes from the department. I'll allow my colleague to present themselves. I think it's on my right.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Flora Musipi. I'm the Provincial Manager for Limpopo Province.
Morning, Charles. My name is Machat Perenbill. I'm representing Limpopo Province as a director and panel. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Victor and my son is Carl. I'm the district manager of operations in Limpopo.
Chairperson, honorable members. Good morning. I'm Robert Sita from Mpumalanga.
Good morning. I'm Johannes Pekekela. I manage the operations of the Johannes Beck.
Good morning. My name is Lerato Asilaka. I'm the director for West Rand and CDA, district manager operations. I'm here on behalf of the acting provincial manager. Thanks.
Good morning. My name is Pume Zamduaha, Director of Finance and Support Housing for
you. Good morning. My name is Miringoni Namuchiri, Director of Finance in Mpumalanga. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Adam Salmon. I do research for the Portfolio Committee.
Morning. My name is Dimatum, the Committee Secretary.
Thank you. I think you will have
Good morning, Chair and Member. My name is Kudula Mabulu, Parliamentary Liaison and also the Minister of Home Affairs. Thanks.
That's Majid Mazur, PLO for the Deputy Minister of Home Affairs. Thank you.
Yeah, on that note, we will over to Mr. Kobese to lead up with the presentation. There will be a slight change with regard to the provinces that are going to start making their presentation. Mr. Kobese has asked that the Limpopo be the first to make their presentation. I'm sure that this is in order with the committee. Over to you, Mr. Kobese.
And to honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. Let me firstly take this opportunity to thank the Portfolio Committee for inviting the department to come and present our quarterly report for provinces. As in a thinking was made, Chairperson, by the DG, last week in this presentation, that you will endeavor to circulate the presentation on time, we'll try to do so. Also, just to make a special request to the committee, that the presentations that have been circulated, what will be presented, there will be slight additions. The additions will not be substantive, they will be minute. They will be in relation to addition of pictures. They will be in relation to slight change of language, but the substance won't change. I just want to assure the community that we haven't changed the substance of the presentation, they will remain the same. But also, Sebastian, for the benefit of the committee, in the ministerial budget vote, also in presentations that we made thereafter, we had indicated to the committee chairperson that we are in the process of appointing provincial managers. And the minister has made a commitment that as a department, we are seeking to have a 60-40 split. 60 females, but not 50-50. We are going for 60-40. In terms of the presentation of provinces for the first batch, Ms. Flora Musipi in the current presentation is the only permanent provincial manager. For the other two provinces, we've got acting provincial managers. For Mpumalanga, Ms. Gezika is the acting provincial manager. We had made advertisement for the position, but we couldn't find a suitable candidate because specifically we're looking for a female candidate. So the department is in the process of headhunting to find a suitable candidate who is a female, not a male. What we got in applications are only males, so we're suitable. So now we are headhunting for a female candidate. For Gauteng province, the provincial manager who was permanent had got a promotion at the Department of Correctional Services. So we are in the process of filling the vacancy now. The post has been at the time. So we are not filling the vacancy, which is why then we've got acting professional manager. I will allow Ms. Montepe and Chairperson to make the presentation. Thank you, sir.
Once more, good morning, Chairperson, and to the House. And with me, I am with my colleague, Director of Finance, Mr. Tifeli Machaya, who will be supporting me, representing the finances for the province. And I'm also with the Director for Bembe and Mopane region, who's here to support us. The contents of my presentation, we will be showing the organogram and the home affairs footprint in Limpopo, the turnaround times in terms of the IDs and the late registration of birth, and we are going to show service delivery channels where we are trying to improve access, and we also provided statistics and the capacity post filled and those that are vacant but are funded, and Director Finance will be presenting our budget and expenditure and revenue generated in our offices and port of entries, and the issues regarding corruption and challenges and positive things that we achieved in this financial in the first quarter. In the province, we have 5 district municipalities. Our structure has changed. Initially, we used to have zone managers for Limpopo and Gauteng. It was only one zone manager. However, the department has decided to appoint provincial manager for each and every province so that we can align ourselves to the structures of government. In Limpopo, we have 5 district municipalities, and for those municipalities, we are going to appoint directors per district. So far, we only have Mr. Mabunda, who has been appointed as director for Mopane, and he is acting for Bembe region. And we also have Mr. Mazaung, who has been appointed for Capricorn. However, due to the issue of lack of capacity at the SMS level, Mr. Mazaung has been deployed to KZN to act as a provincial manager. And we have 3 vacant posts for directors for Sekhukhune district, and for Bembe and for Waterberg district. And we also have 25 local municipalities. And for each local municipality, we are going to have an office, which is the main office for that local municipality, and there will be a local office manager. And the emphasis that we are taking now as a department, we emphasize on operations, hence the names of the people who head our offices. We say it's district manager operations or local manager operations. That is more or less our the structure of our offices. We couldn't put in most of our small offices. We've highlighted the 9 ports of entry that are found in Limpopo. Those are in blue. That will be Stockport, Kroblersberg, Zanzibar, Kladian, Pondbrief, Beitbridge, Bafuri, and Giriondo, and Gateway International Airport. We also highlighted the district offices. These are we define these offices as large offices in Limpopo. That would be Polokwane, Mokopane, Thohoyandou, Kiani, and Tainter. And we highlighted the local offices. Those are middle to small offices. They appear in yellow PPD, Elim, each and every district municipality, and has its own local offices. Population demographics in Limpopo are as follows. In Capricorn, the statistics are we have about 1.24 million, and then in Mopane it's 1.06 million people, Sekhukhune 1.09 people, and then in Bembe 1.24, and in Waterberg it's 596,000 population. And all in all, we have about 5.2 million people in Limpopo. That is a graphical demonstration of the population statistics in Limpopo. As I said, we are trying to align our structure to the government structures and provincial structures. For each and every district municipality, we are going to have a large office. And for each and every local municipality, we have offices. So we have classified our offices, identified whether we have office in each and every local municipality. And as you will notice, in some of the local municipalities, we already have more than one office. So in Capricorn, we have 5 local offices, and they have the small offices, local offices, and 2 song centers. They are represented under DHA presence. And in Mopani, we also have 5 local offices, and they are also supported by 8 offices in the form of small offices and the 2 song centers and district office. In Sikukuni, we have 5 local offices and 1 district office, as you can see, and 2 song centers and local offices. All in all, there are 6. And in Vembe, that's where we have most of our offices. We have 4 local offices, and we have more smaller offices in terms of 2 song centers, and we used to call them service delivery points, but now it's small offices and 2 song centers. In Waterbeck, we have 6 local municipalities. As you notice, the Waterbeck has almost half the population as Capricorn, as Sikukuni, as Mopani. However, it's because of its vastness that there are more offices in that area than in other district municipalities. These are the turnaround times regarding the ID documentation received from BVR, that is our sectors in Pretoria, to respective offices in Limpopo. We have a turnaround, and on average we have a turnaround of 2.92 days to receive and deliver the ID to the applicant. And regarding the fingerprints on late registration of birth, it takes the province 2.12 days to submit fingerprints to head office to visit at our factory where they are verified. And for informants, it takes the province 2.15 days to send those fingerprints to Pretoria for verification purposes. In terms of our operational plan, we have to at least register newborn babies before they turn 30 days, before the 30 days. After 30 days, in terms of the act, that would fall as a late registration of birth. But however, previously, our late registration of birth started from 15 years of age. And for the quarter, April, May, June, for the first quarter of 2011, we have registered 3,563 deaths in hospitals, and those deaths that were registered between the days 31 days to 14 years is 32,132. And late registration applications that were received in the office in the Limpopo is 2,465. And then all in all, we have 38,160 applications that were registered in Limpopo. I have to highlight here, the intention by the department is that our plan is to have one entry into the National Population Register. So the emphasis is now to have representation in hospitals where we will register newborn babies before they turn 31 days. That's only a graphical error, a demonstration about the birth registration statistics. And then ID applications. We have, again, a drive, it is at a plan in the department that each and every person who turns 16 must apply for ID and must be provided with an ID application. For the first quarter of 2011, in April, first application of IDs, we processed 8,000 135 applications, and then the reissues were 8,920 applications in Limpopo. In May, we had a total of 16,259. First issues were 8,440, and reissues were 7,845. And in June, first issues, it was 6,233 applications, reissued 7,270 applications that were processed in Limpopo. All in all, we had applications and processed 46,817 ID applications. Passport applications in April, in April 2011, we have demonstrated various forms of passports that a person can apply for in our offices. But in April, we had an application total of 3,895 passport applications that we received and processed. In May, it was 3,594 applications that were processed. And then in June 2011, we had 5,491. All in all, we received and processed 12,980 applications for passports. Now I'm going to discuss the issues relating to immigration. Two of our ports, being Bay Bridge and Groblersbrug, we have installed the new movement control system. And the statistics regarding the Groblersbrug, they couldn't distinguish between travelers, arrivals by South African citizens and foreigners, and departures by South African citizens and foreigners. We are still looking into this as to how South African Revenue Service can assist us, because that is where the system is lying and that is where we get our information. However, in Stockport, we processed 38,443 people coming in and or leaving South Africa. And in Groblersbrug, it was 285,860. In Zanzibar, this port hasn't been operating for quite some time because of the floods. And the staff had to be taken to other offices to assist there because they cannot work at that port of entry at the moment. Platjan, we processed 14,627. Hondrift, 3,156. Bay Bridge is 1.52 million. And then Pafuri is 16,391. Giriondo, 18,934. Gateway is 3,277. All in all, we processed 1.9 million movements in or leaving, or people coming into the country or leaving the country. Inspectorate. Regarding arrests in Limpopo, these are done by immigration branch, immigration services, under inspectorate. We have arrested 862 illegal immigrants. There were 818 detentions, be at the police station or Lindela facility, and deportation is 759. And then we have prosecutions of employers and people employing illegal foreigners in the country, 21 all in all. And the total of the of the prosecutions, arrests and detention and deportation is 2,460. Statistics.
That document, that isn't a document here. This is an additional.
And on slide 23 is the statistics pertaining to permits issued. Application for permanent residence that were received in the province is 219. I have to remind the House here that as a province, what we do is we only receive applications from applicants and then we transfer these to head office. They have a hub and they have a capacity that is processing these applications. And once it is done, the application is sent back, the permit. Once or at least once a decision has been taken, the application is returned back to the province where we contact the applicant or we give a decision to the to applicants. Family reunion applications were received 8, section 28, 2 exemptions were received 270, temporary residence permits were received 1,542, ministerial inquiries, request for review of reconsideration is 2004, these will be 204, these will be provided by, these are submitted by people who are not happy with the decision by the department. Cancellation of temporary permits is 14. Recommendation for contract workers for Department of Labor, 294. Request for refund of cash deposit or bank guarantee, 3. And then DZP, number of applications received from the Zimbabweans. As you know that we had a special dispensation for Zimbabweans, we received 261 for the month for the first quarter. And then number of permits granted, DZP, is 7,177. These are applications that were collected even before the first quarter. As mentioned earlier, we have 5 district municipalities in Limpopo, and in each district municipality we have a district office. So we have 5 district offices, and then in local municipalities, for each local municipality we have an office. However, when we try to align our structure to the structure, provincial structure, municipality structures, you'll find that there are 2 local offices already in that municipality. But one of them is the one that is that reports directly to the local municipality. And then small offices, we used to call them permanent service points or chisom centers. So now we define them as small offices. So they have to have their own manager, they have to have their own budget, they have to have their own structure and resources. And then chisom centers as well, we are going to give them their own budget, because what used to happen previously is that we'll have a chisom center or permanent service point that reports to a district office or a local office, and its budget and resources will be from that local office or district office. But now these offices are now standalone offices. And again, we have 16 mobile offices. We no longer call them mobile units or its offices. We also want to recognize this as an office which has its own resources, its own budget, and its own manager. And then we have 3 mobile branded buses. However, from the 16 mobile offices that were allocated to Limpopo, only 4 mobile offices are functional. Functional meaning we mean that you can apply and print, for example, a birth certificate. Some of them will simply use them to collect applications from hospitals or to collect applications from rural areas where we don't have a representativity in terms of offices. Health centers. At the moment, we have 45 health centers in Limpopo. That would include, we don't talk about hospitals because hospitals will only be 38. We talk about health centers because now we include areas such as clinics or where we and private hospitals where we get the statistics regarding deaths. 21 of these hospitals were connected during the first quarter of 2011. And for 21, that would be starting from the previous financial years, but for quarter one, only 2 hospitals were connected. That would be Letaba Hospital and Philadelphia Hospital. These are included in the 21 connected, total of 21 connected hospitals, health facilities. We also have special events which we attend to, and we keep statistics. For the elections on the 18th, the President of Home Affairs was opened, and we managed to collect and
I'm done.
Oh, I think I thought it's still coming. I'm sorry about that. Thank you. The slide that is not here is all the hospitals that we are negotiating space. We have succeeded with one hospital, Van Velden Hospital, where we were given where we were connected last week. But there are certain hospitals where we are still negotiating for office space. And we have appointed 61 front office plugs that will be deployed to these hospitals as soon as we are provided with office space. Here it was a slide about the elections day where we collected 4,125 ID applications. And then we issued temporary identification certificates, 143, and then temporary identification certificates that were extended to 21. So all in all, the applications collected for first issue is 269, and then the applications collected for reissue was 340, and we received 6 queries. These are the pictures that we said we have added, where our managers are now on a drive to go and consult communities and inform them about the services for Home Affairs and who is supposed to apply, because we have realized that people are still not coming, especially in the Kukuni area. We are not getting people to come and apply at Home Affairs unless we send our mobile. This was our mop-up campaign when we have we were educating the public about the services for Home Affairs and the fact that we are now a provincial manager is now supported by a DDG whom we call a champion. For the first quarter, the champion for Limpopo, it was a DDG Castro Kwela, and now he has been changed, and the chief financial officer, Mrs. Rafik Kinya, is now the champion for Limpopo. And for all the queries that are happening or problems that are happening in Limpopo, I escalate them to my DDG as my direct manager. But for other issues, which I feel that they are not being addressed fully, despite the fact that I have escalated to my manager, those are problems that we can escalate to the champion. And all our names and telephone numbers are on the walls of each and every office, where customers or our clients can phone either myself as a provincial manager or the champion herself to inform about the problems that would be about queue management, about the root staff, about lack of services in all the offices in Limpopo, and we have to respond. This is a picture about the mop-up campaign when we were, the LRP campaign, when we were doing our mop-up before the end of the last financial year, beginning of the first financial year of 2011. And then in 16 June, again, we supported the youth day by using our mobiles and rendering services in various areas in Limpopo. I have indicated that we are still experiencing problems about people coming to Limpopo to apply for ID documents. In this case, this gentleman was involved in the World War II. However, he has never applied for an ID. He was brought to our attention when we did our mop-up operation in Limpopo, where we were told by the community that there is an old man in that area and he's not getting a grant. We did our investigation, and the people were sent to his area in Bochum, were sent to Zimbabwe, where we thought he was coming from, or to Botswana, where he was coming from. And evidence showed to us that this man was supposed to have received a pension about 33 years ago. He was now about 92 years. He has never received a grant. So together with social development, together with the mayor, as you can see, the mayor is on the other side, and together with the Department of Health, we facilitated the ID, and when he received the ID, we went to present it to him. And again, it was an opportunity again for us as Home Affairs to inform the community in that area about the services at Home Affairs.
Madam Chair, just one point. This man, if he first served in the Second World War, he's entitled to visit the Department of Defense and apply for a war pension, in addition to the other one.
What we realized, that's the investigation that we did. The old man had an old Donbass document, and he could only remember his service number. Defense Force didn't have his record at all. Thank you. This is the side which I have omitted, I think. These are the 14 hospitals where space has been negotiated. As I mentioned, Van Velden Hospital, it has been connected. It was connected last week. So that's why we now have a balance of 13 hospitals where we are still negotiating space so that we can deploy our staff to render services on a full-time basis. IDs issued to matriculants through our outreach programs are as follows. We visited schools 655 during the first quarter, and then we received applications of 11,574 applications, and we issued 11,083 applications. And then later registration of birth applications was 390, and then we distributed IDs to the communities. These are efforts where we send mobile tasks. It accepts most of the applications that are received at the offices. It's where we send our mobile tasks, where we have our youth on a campaign, where they're delivering IDs to various communities in Limpopo. Regarding the duplicates that we received from head office during the first quarter is 194. And then the duplicate that we have returned to head office for finalization is 256. Duplicate ID documents. These are statistics regarding duplicate IDs for each and every office. If I have to go through the offices, in Polokwane, we had duplicate IDs 12, and then in Polokwane, we had duplicate IDs 12, and the balance now is 15. In Bochum, it's 11, and the balance is 11 still. In Lebowakgomo, 21, we have a balance of 12. In Mulemule, we have two duplicate IDs, and the balance is 2. In Mankweng, we have 6 IDs, the balance is 3. It's 6 as well. And then in Sishoko, 2, and the balance is 3. And Machaka and other offices we don't have. Mokwadi is 1, balance is 1. And then Muleji, nothing. And in Eldorado Tsitsong Center, we have 1 and a balance of 1. Mopani is Kiani, duplicate ID 7, and we have a balance of 18. Sanin, nothing. We have 17 so far. Mujaji Slof is 0. We have 2 duplicate IDs. Palabura, 16, and a balance of 15. Sikororo, 0. We have 2 duplicate ID queries. Napuno is 1 and a balance of 1. And Taneki PSP is nothing. Rapatela, we have 1. Marulen Tsitsong Center, nothing. And it's in Sikukuni. I'll just refer to the totals. We have 2 duplicate IDs and a balance of 11. And in Vembe too, I'll just go to the totals. It will be at duplicate IDs we have at 80 and a balance of 115. And in Waterbeck we have duplicates of 32 and a balance of 23 so far. As a province and the department in general, we receive complaints from municipalities, from the Office of the Public Protector, from members of the community, and from other departments. What we have done, because as I said, our names together with the champions are on the walls of each and every office. What happens is a person phones you, and then we resolve the problem. But those statistics were never kept. However, at the moment, we have at least come up with an idea of this database where we register all the complaints that are received in the province. It started only last month. And then every month, we try to resolve these problems by going to head office in Pretoria, where the problems are. It's either an ID, a person applied for an ID and it's not coming, or it's about a duplicate case, or about a late registration of birth case that is not being finalized. So there is a team of officials, 3 of them, and on a monthly basis they go to Pretoria where they try and resolve these cases. So far, we have established this database. The complaints that we have on the database at the moment is 334. And the complaints finalized, it's 20. The complaints originate from media houses in Limpopo, from the public protector, from the premier's office, and the general public. The staff profile in Limpopo, we have 374 males, as you can see the levels from level 3 up to level 14. And for females, we have 375. At the moment, at management level, we have one provincial manager, it's a female, myself, and we have three directors. That would be male. It will be a director finance, director for Capricorn, and director for Mopani, that would be Mr. Mabunda. We did advertise the post for directors for other regions. However, as it has been stated, that the department is on a drive to attract females. We couldn't find suitable candidates, and the department started its head hunting. Still in the applications, we've only found people who applied for Sikukuni, but not for Vembe. We are still looking for Vembe to finalize the recruitment process for the other districts. But the fifth district, that is Waterbeck, that the post doesn't exist and it's not funded yet. It's yet to be created. So it will be combined. Waterbeck will be combined with Sikukuni. So the director for Sikukuni will also be the director for Waterbeck. And we have a budget for the four directors that will be running the five districts. Total establishment in Limpopo is 936. And posts that are filled is 756. And the posts that are vacant is 180. And then the posts that are vacant and funded is 21. We have advertised the post of front office clerks, that was 61, and those were filled. And we also have advertised the post for supervisors and the staff for our hospitals. The recruitment process is still, we are still going through the recruitment process. We have shortlisted, we have to appoint. And regarding the slide on the budget, I would like to hand over to our director of finance.
Good morning, Honorable Chair again.
And again, my name is Machaya Spelimiru. I will basically touch the base on the issue of the finances. That will be our budget and our revenue. Okay. Before we start, my humbly apology to say the slide that you are seeing there on the screen. Technology issue of the funding. Can we go to slide 43? As I was saying, this is the slide that you see there, and which is basically what we have as a presentation. There were slight changes, as already been indicated by our leader of the delegation. To say the 1 month for July has been taken off, it was just an error that was included. Basically, you will see some slight changes.
Okay, so initially our instructions were that we should prepare a presentation for 2011. And our presentation, as you see the changes, we started from April until July. So I think late Friday we were told to remove the month of July because we only have to report for April, May, June. So that's why we see the confusion. Can we really want to apologize for this inconvenience.
But basically, the our budget is composed of compensation of employees. That's where they are all getting paid from, and the goods and services, so as to procure the day-to-day running of our businesses. The budget, as indicated, it hasn't changed. It's still 174 million, and for goods and services, still the same. 17,174,000. Okay. The changes come as when we remove the month of July. The actual expenditure on compensation of employee, you know, is currently spent as 34,604,498. Okay. Then on that column of commitment, which was basically saying where we've issued orders to our suppliers, we've already made commitment to say indeed we need that particular goods and services. We on compensation of employees, we don't have any, which is fine. Then on the total projection expenditure, which is basically the expenditure which you have already incurred, plus your commitment, okay, or the obligation thereof, it remains the same because we don't have the collateral for commitment. Okay. Then the issue of the total saving, the projected, for 3 months, of course, the house is 139,432, as we said. Then the percentage wise of what we have spent currently for compensation of employee is 20%. Okay. Then on goods and services, on the very same budget that I've already indicated of 17,974, we only spend 1,626,000. Okay. We do have some outstanding orders or commitments which we are waiting for the either the delivery of goods and services or the delivery of invoices so that the payment can be effected, amounted to 856,432. The two of the actual expenditure commitment they give us 2,520,058. Okay. And as a percentage spent to date for the quarter, the house and the chairperson, stand at 14%. The overall percentage spent on our budget is basically 19%, which is a little bit low. My apology again, Honorable Chair. We had made an indication when we start. Yeah, of that mishap and a little bit of changes. I thought it already said that. But this is when we technology seemed to get the better of us. We apologize, it won't happen again. But one thing to note is that overall we spent 19%, which is a food of thought to the house. Okay. That as far as the issue of budget is concerned. Then coming to the issue of the revenue that we have collected up to date, as you know, as Home Affairs, we are more of a revenue generating institution through the various product services that you are offering to the public. Okay. Just want to go to the slide, even though they are a little bit changed, so that we have an understanding. Okay. Then our presentation was to say on the month of April, on the district of Kukune, we've collected 975,000. For the month of May 2011, again, we collected 797,800. In June, we have collected 1,110,890. Okay. The total of the three, taking into account that we have to remove the month of July, it gives us 2,000,000,
580, sorry, 720. I don't know the house, you don't have that, just stay with us. At least the essence is still there. On the region of Mopani, we, on the month of April, we collected 499,738. In May, we've collected 449, still under Mopani. In June, we collected 519. That gives us a total of 1,468,458. Then we go to Skukune. We have collected 306,490. On the month of May, we collected 435,765. On the month of June, 343,180. That gives us a total of 1,085,435. Then going to Vembe district, we have, on the month of April, we collected 1,255,142. On May, we've collected 1,258,792. And on June, we've managed to collect 1,320,360. On Waterbeck, we've managed to collect 581,990. Still underwater there, we managed to collect 542,675. In June, 540,530. We're talking about the cash, the house. Okay. The total overall collection for the quarter is 10,642,602. Okay. So our projection that we had from the start of financial year is to say, since last year we managed to collect 24 million, we are saying this year at least we make an undertaking to say we managed to collect 30 million due to the increase on the price tariff of the goods, the services that were offered to the public. Looking at the current performance of 10,642,000, but we have the privilege of even going beyond the June, going to July, you can see we are almost at 14 million. We strongly believe we are still on the course of collecting the 30 million that we have targeted for ourselves. Okay. Of course, this revenue collection line with the statistics that you've seen previously to say on payments, we process so much, on ID, we process so much. It's along those lines that we've managed to collect this. And again, colleagues, I'm privileged to take you through to the revenue footprint within our provinces to say which offices are currently collecting revenue, okay, or that basically generating revenue. In Capricorn, currently we have 7 offices, and in Mopani we have 7 offices, we have 4, in Skukune 6. Vembe was stating, I wonder whether they have collected more as compared to other districts. In Waterbeck we have 7, okay. Of those offices that are currently collecting revenue, of course, you need resources, you need system to do that. Then those that have the bar system, which you currently use to record, to process the revenue. And of course, it doesn't need to be there only, it needs to be functional. Well, say the bar capturing station, which are there functional, we have 24. Okay. Now we have 24 capturing station, capturing and functional 24, it means all of them which are there are functional. Okay. Honorable Chairperson and the House, I hope I've reached to the end of my legally presentation.
What
does the PIS for BAS stand for? Basic Accounting System. Basically used to process all our receipts, even the payments and the orders. Thank you.
Regarding this this slide, it refers to corruption and prosecution cases that we have in Limpopo. Nature of offences that we have is theft of passport. Next slide. We have officials who are still stealing our documents, passports. This case has been finalized, and our officer has been in prison, got a 2 years imprisonment, which has been suspended for 5 years. We have abuse of learners by some of our officials when they go on these outreach programs. The matter is still under investigation, and we have fraudulent marriage and permits conducted by officials, and the permits, the investigation is continuing in one and other matters in reference to the police. And we have another fraudulent marriage and permits case where the matter is still being investigated by National by Immigration Services. And the inefficiency of officials in handling documents. We have the matter, we have referred the cases. It's regarding two cases in Sikukuni where our officials are simply not really attending to inquiries by the clients. We have referred those cases to our employee engagement to take disciplinary action. And we also have people who are just stamping documents for Zimbabwean nationals, and then they receive bribes in this respect. And this matter was referred to the police too. And we also have cases where birth certificates are produced by our officers, and the matter has been referred to the police. The challenges that we encounter as a province, of the 16 mobile offices that we have in the province, only 4 is functional, fully functional. It's, we can render a service and produce a document and hand over to the applicant on the spot. And in Limpopo, previously I think that there was a drive to open offices. However, there was no enough human capacity for those offices. So what used to happen? The smaller offices, the Chisholm centers and the permanent service points were capacitated by people from regional offices and from district offices. And this depleted resources in the regional offices and the district offices. So these offices, the smaller offices that were opened, they are either the tribal offices or we are sharing an office with the Department of Justice, or we are sharing an office with the Department of Social Development, and we are not connected. So what we are doing there, we are simply collecting applications. That's like what we're doing in hospitals. And then we also have a problem regarding finalization of death duplicate cases at head office. We receive these applications, and we return them to Pretoria, but there is a delay. Hence, we have, for the past 3 months, we deployed a person from Limpopo to be at Pretoria so that the person can attend as only to our problems in Limpopo, because we simply cannot understand what is causing the delay. And there are many issues. Sometimes it's about the system which is not working. Sometimes it's about the investigators not finding people to get to give statements regarding these cases. In the Tucson centers, former Tucson centers and the former permanent service points, some of our offices, we don't even have computers. Staff have to share the computers. Hence, they don't have access to communication facilities. at the moment, as I said, we sometimes deploy staff to Pretoria so that we can resolve our problem. That's because we take our best officer, whom we know that will be able to solve the problem when he's in Pretoria. It's depleting our resources in the province. But it has generated positive results for the problem. And there is a downtime of systems and cable theft in other offices where we can't be connected. One hospital, for instance, in Bila Bila, we were fully operational, we were connected, but later we can't connect because of one problem or the other. The system is no longer working. And our officers, for instance, in Bakebridge, it's a 24-hour operated port of entry, where we are still trying to compile a business case so that we can get a transport to transport staff between the hours of 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. as per the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. And there's a slow processing again of unabridged certificates, and this also is a problem which we are encountering when we refer our applications to Pretoria. And there is a serious shortage of staff when it comes to immigration services. the province as a whole, with all its offices and the 5 district municipalities, we have less than 50 inspectorate officers who are supposed to detect and arrest illegal foreigners in the province. IDs, clients came in early this year and late last year, where they were getting their IDs, their photos were digitized, but now it's no longer happening. Those are the problems that we are encountering, because clients don't want to accept the ID where a photo is being pasted. It's just pasted. We also have a problem with our XPS visitation, because this affects our turnaround time. We are not getting the services on a day-to-day, every day. Some once a week, in some instances twice a week in some of the offices. Hence, you'll find that instead of saying we receive an application and dispatch immediately from Mayor of the City, dispatch after 2 days, because XPS will keep the applications until they come and deliver, maybe on a Wednesday or on a Friday. And so far, again, the delays of ID applications at Checkers is again the issue of head office. When we make inquiries, we are told that the IDs are still at Checkers section, and those problems are not being explained. They're just told that the ID is at Checkers, and that creates a serious problem for us as a province.
It's not shop right.
I think it's when they check the quality check there. We need deployment. So far as a province, we only have 5 passport capturing machines. We need these machines in most of our offices, instead of rather tunneling our clients to regional offices, we'd rather have those machines in most of the offices or all offices. We had a serious office space in Limpopo, where most of our offices, even though we are occupying close to 22 offices, that includes even hospitals, but excludes mobile offices. Our offices were so dilapidated to an extent that when I started, when I was appointed in June 2011, and I visited all those offices, you become depressed and you wonder, how are people managing to work in that office on a day-to-day basis? However, the department has at least given us 4 million rands to ensure that at least I can relocate close to 11 offices to new premises. As I'm saying, Elim office, they have vacated that dilapidated building. They have relocated, they are relocating, they are building a new office. In some instances, like Mudimu Lemokopong, Mutale, all offices in Limpopo, small offices, they used to be just an office without connectivity, and they were uninhabitable, they were dilapidated, and they were not maintained. And maybe because we were not paying rent, it's simply a deed by maybe a department or municipality or a house who's giving us a space to occupy so that we can render services. But now we have reached a stage where we say we need a full office which has full capacity, which has infrastructure, which is suitable, where we can even seat our clients to render services. And one of the major problems, again, is the late registration of best ID numbers. The process is extremely slow. It can take up to a year or over a year to finalize a late registration of best ID. In some instances, you find that it's an investigation where you have to trace the other person with a number, and you can't find the person. In some instances, you have to get statements, but you can't find people who can give the statements. So these are we're looking into solutions regarding late registration of tax applications. That one is not supposed to. It's still challenges regarding. This slide, it's not supposed to be this challenges. These are achievements. So far, we have managed to appoint 61 front office staff for the province. These the staff members have been appointed in for offices, and they will be deployed to hospitals as and when we connect hospitals. Our youth have come out clearly with a campaign that they want to deliver IDs door to door. They have declared themselves the new youth of Home Affairs, who do not want to commit fraudulent activities within the department. They have pledged to serve the department. So this is a build-up to the launching of the Provincial Stakeholder Forum, where we will show the results to the minister that this is the youth that is turning the Home Affairs. And we have appointed the Director of Finance, and the Director is responsible for finance and support in the provincial office. It started on the 1st of June. And we also have the clerks have been appointed, and the provincial manager has been appointed 1st of June 2011. And we have been allocated a budget for those 11 offices which are dilapidated. That's all from Limpopo.
Thank you, Member Musisi. That was a long presentation.
Yeah.
Honourable members, I want to suggest that we let all the managers to make their presentation and we note your questions and do question after all of them have made their presentation. I think it will be better that way, because if we do it, you know, after presentation, question time, discussion is going to take us the whole day here. Can we note our questions and give the presenters to make their presentation and ask after all of them have made their presentation? Honourable Marcella?
Chairperson, I'm with you on that. May I suggest, though, that when making a presentation, we try and use very little acronyms. And where it appears, we explain what it means, so that we don't get confused around that.
I agree with the honourable member there, because we were asking what is the meaning of that. So it will be better if, as you go on, you explain what you mean by that. I think the next presenter will be from Gauteng. Mamu Kubung, which is, I don't see Mamu Kubung here. Who's going to make the presentation?
I am sorry, in my introductions, I should have indicated that Mamuete is on labor. Unfortunately, because of her state, she couldn't take a flight because she's at the advanced stage of labor.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
No apology accepted. I know her. Oh, over to Lerato. I'm so sorry, I didn't recognize you've lost a lot of weight. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will try to really compress our presentation. In fact, we avoided, you know, to put a lot of text in our presentation. So, thank you. I'm not sure who's navigating. Okay, so I can communicate to my navigator. That is basically the structure of the presentation. It's similar to the one for Limpopo, so I will not bore you with the details. But basically, we will be taking you through the organogram of the province. We will be taking you through, you know, the operational activities in the province, our mobile activities, as well as corruption and corruption prevention and prosecution, as well as challenges that are facing the province. That is the vision. It has not changed, so we can move on. And as you can see, there is clear alignment to the outcomes of government in terms of ensuring that, you know, there is, we as Home Affairs, we ensure that South African citizens are secure in their identity, and also making sure that we regulate migration as a department, as well as ensuring that services that we render as a government department are efficient, accessible, and emphasis on corruption free. That is just the presentation of the province as it is. We have Mrs. Mwegetsi, who is the acting provincial manager. We have Director Support, who is with us, Ms. Pumeza Mdwaha, as well as refugee. We have Refugee Reception Center that's based at Marabastad, Ms. Dolin Tiguana, and those are the other directors that report directly to the provincial manager, who are responsible for management of operations in the various districts and metro municipalities. And as you can see, the vacancy that we have in the province is for Citibank. I'm currently looking after Citibank as well. We can move on. That is Gauteng, in case we didn't know where to locate this province of gold. We can move on to the next. And that is, in terms of location, where our five district municipalities are located. What we did as a department, we really, when we reviewed our structure towards the end of last year, we sought to align our demarcations to municipal boundaries. For the simple reason that we need to improve intergovernmental relations with other spheres of government, like your provincial and district and local municipalities. And also to make sure that, it becomes clear to our stakeholders, our clients, that who is the nodal person in the province, or who is the nodal person in municipalities, in terms of contact. But also what we sought to do is to make sure that there is optimal coverage of our services in the different municipalities. Because this exercise actually forced us to conduct an audit of Home Affairs services, the coverage of Home Affairs services in the different municipalities. And we were quite shocked, to get some of the results. Like, for instance, if I were to use an example with the West Rand, the area that I'm looking after, there is an entire municipality that does not have a permanent Home Affairs presence, which is Western area. It's only a visiting point, and we need to correct that. So this whole process forced us to conduct an audit and make sure that we review our footprint to ensure that there is optimal coverage of services in our various communities. We can move on to the next. And Gauteng, being the province of gold, yes, we attract a lot of migration. There are a lot of people who come into Gauteng seeking better opportunities. And this really creates a challenge. This really creates a challenge, for us as a province, because we are then faced, with a lot of people that come into the province, not only in search of job opportunities, but also in search of, there is this presumption that if they come to Gauteng, they will get better quality service. And also because our head office is in Gauteng, you find people, there's a lot of migration from other provinces, people coming to Pretoria thinking they will get a better service in Pretoria. So we do face a lot of that, where the clients that we are serving are not necessarily clients that reside within the province. And also another challenge that we face is that with that migration into the province, there is also a problem of irregular human settlement patterns. We don't know where these people settle, and hence the province is facing a challenge of a lot of informal settlements that mushroom all over the place. And that creates a problem, because you don't know who is settling in those informal settlements. You don't know their origin, and it does create a security concern for us as a province. And hence, it's important for us to ensure that we strengthen our intergovernmental relations with, especially state security agencies of government, to ensure that we are able to detect these people that settle irregularly in our communities. So that is a great challenge, because coupled with that challenge is also the problem of genuine South Africans that are undocumented, and it becomes a challenge to reach them. And hence I mentioned earlier that the alignment to municipal boundaries forced us to actually conduct an audit of where these informal settlements are and come up with a strategy to to extend services even to those informal settlements. And that is basically, you know, the results of the audit that I was talking about. That is basically our footprint in Johannesburg. How many, you know, that talks to not only permanent offices, but it also talks to the number of small offices that we have. Small offices, I'm referring to our Tucson centers that were formerly known as multi-purpose community centers. I'm referring to hospitals that we service, even mobile unit visiting points. So those are basically the numbers under Johannesburg. We can move on to the next. That is now CD Bank, your Vereeniging van der Bijl, Sebokeng, Heidelberg and Everton area. We can move on. The West Rand, the local municipalities are under the West Rand. It's basically your Merafong, Western area, Randfontein and Mogale City under the West Rand district. We can move on. Tshwane, now that, you know, after the local government elections, Tshwane has been amalgamated with Metsweding, so the area, the region itself or the metro itself has become quite vast, and those are the service points that we have under that municipality. You can move on. And that is just Ekurhuleni. We can move on to the next. This is basically where we stand as a province. In terms of ID book, We are ranked as a province second in terms of how we process ID books that come from our BVR. I think Flora explained it, that is our ID production factory. How quickly do we, when we receive those IDs, capture them on the system so that an SMS can be activated to the client to come and collect? Because our interest is to make sure that the clients who apply for their IDs, they must come and collect their IDs. So we have to establish some discipline as a department to ensure that when IDs are finalized, let us make sure that we process them quickly so that clients are alerted on time. We don't sit with a problem that eventually becomes a security risk, whereby we are sitting with high volumes of IDs that are uncollected. So that is the reason why we measure that time. As soon as the ID book is finalized, how quickly do we alert the client? And as Gauteng, we are second in the country, and our days is 2.37. We can move on to the next slide. And this talks to our late registration of birth applications. That's now clients whose births were never registered. How quickly do we process those? We are still within the 2.6 day time. And we do strive, you know, to improve that. But that's basically the fingerprints of those applicants. How quickly do we also make sure that we process them? And as you can see, there is that, you know, I think the silent message is that we're trying to improve efficiency, and hence time and quality becomes a factor in everything that we do. We can move on. And that talks to basically the fingerprints of informants. I'm sure members are aware that with every late registration of birth application, there must be an informant. And we had to acknowledge as a department that to what extent did our own processes discourage, you know, genuine South Africans from coming to apply. Because not all of us went to school, first of all. Not all of us come from religious families where we were baptized or whatever the case may be. Not all of us were even born in health facilities. So we had to acknowledge as a department that not all our clients will have a clinic card, will have a school letter, will have, you know, all those things. So hence, the process is reliant on the informant. The informant must be a person of good standing. In the past, we used to say, bring somebody who's 10 years older than you. But we no longer do that in terms of the new processes. Just as long as it's a person in good standing who is a genuine South African citizen, that informant, on their good testimony. Because remember, we also have verification officers on the ground who verify every information that is registered by the informant. That person will be granted citizenship based on that, on the testimony of that particular informant. But in the event that we find that there is a misrepresentation, we also, the form that we use is actually an affidavit that can stand in the court of law. So we not only charge the applicant who's trying to misrepresent themselves, but also the informant can be charged a criminal. And if you're, in terms of the, it's section, what's Mr. Nkekela, section 49 of the Immigration Act, if that informant is a public servant, they don't even have an option for a fine. It's straight imprisonment. So that is the extent that we are prepared to go to as a department. We can move on. That's basically a summary of our activities. In terms of birth registrations, these are aligned to the National Population Registry campaign. Let me just maybe begin by correcting the top one under birth registration. We said there number of public hospitals. It's just an error on our side. What we wanted to capture there is actually the hospitals that we plan to connect in this current financial year. So it's actually number of hospitals that we plan to connect in this financial year. We have secured accommodation out of the 25. We have secured accommodation with 6 hospitals, and we are still negotiating with 4. I know that managers on the ground are actively, engaging in those negotiations. But at the time that the report was compiled, we had approached a further 4, and I believe, we will be that number will improve by the end of the quarter. And next is in terms of our ID documents campaign, the schools project. I think, as a province, we were actually quite fortunate in this area, because in 2006, the former premier, launched a campaign called Banapili Project. So we as a national department, we supported that campaign by making sure that we visit not only the high schools, but also even the primary schools, to assist with birth registrations and ID registrations in high schools. And we have covered most of our schools. So we find that when we visit the schools, most of the kids already have their IDs. It's just, reissue applications that we mostly handle, and also your new entrants, which is your 15-year-olds who are turning 16. So that's, the bulk that we're handling. And you find that most of them already have birth certificates, so they are, it's much easier to process those. So I think that is one of the benefits that we are seeing, in terms of having a focused schools project, capturing them, at that age. Because, even in terms of decongesting our offices, we find that we have less number of school, traffic from school kids coming to our offices, because we catch them while they are in the schools. So we are really reaping the benefits of this project and having started earlier. But what we had targeted as a province was to visit 200 schools. We managed to visit 209 schools over the quarter from April until June. And also the number of applications taken in is about 8,900. And moving on to mobile offices, we have a total number of 10 mobile units as a province. And at the time that the report was done, we had 8 that were fully functional. So the 8 does not refer to the total number of mobile units, it refers to the functional mobile units. And I think Flora explained what we mean by functional. It means the satellite, there is 100% connectivity. We can issue a birth certificate on the spot. We can reprint a marriage certificate, death certificate, even a temporary ID on the spot. And in terms of sites visited, we visited 321 sites. Applications taken in through our mobile outreach programs is about 4,200. And IDs that we distributed is about 2,500. And late registration of birth applications that we took in was 135. The number is really beginning, you know, to go down. It means, you know, it's a clear indication that we are reaching, you know, most of our communities. Maybe our advantage is that in terms of surface area, Gauteng is quite small. But our challenge is the high population density. So we need to continue to visit the same communities until we are, you know, we have satisfied ourselves that we have covered, you know, the entire province. And birth registrations taken in 407. And moving on to the next slide, those are the number of ID applications we've taken in as a province. Those are actually first ID applications. Why we are reporting on first ID applications? It's, you know, in alignment to the National Population Register campaign. If members remember, the campaign is actually in threefold. First, we are focusing on registration of birth within the first 30 days of birth. And secondly, making sure that all citizens above the age of 16 must have an ID. And thirdly, it was the total elimination of late registrations of birth. So that's the reason why we felt we need to project these statistics. For the quarter, it's about, if you were to add up all those numbers, it's about 34,000. But basically, if you're 15 years who are turning 16, the ID, the applications that are taken in at the schools, it's also your those that are 16 years, you know, that are above 16 years but not yet 17, and also above 17 years, just so we can more or less see how, you know, has the message really, you know, is the message really driven home? You know, has there been a paradigm shift in our communities? Communities conscientized in terms of knowing that when my child turns 16, I shouldn't delay. I shouldn't wake up when they're in matric and then start running around for an ID application. So that, you know, that's the reason why we are trying to measure whether the message is reaching home. We can move on to the next. These are passport applications, and passports under the new tariff are quite, you know, are one of our high revenue generating products. I'm sure colleagues are aware that passport costs 400 rand. So in the over that period, the period April to June, we processed 75,877 passport applications. We do a lot as a province. Why? I'm sure colleagues are aware that we have a larger, you know, sector of society that's your middle to high income groups. So they are frequent travelers, you know, they have more disposable income, and hence, you know, we do a lot of passport applications. But also it shows that, you know, we generate quite a lot as a province. Moving on to the next, these are our port of entries. Yes, OR Tambo is in Gauteng in terms of geographic location, but it is managed by head office, and hence we're not reporting on it. We are reporting on the Waterkloof Air Force Base, as well as Lanseria Airport, that is under Mogale City. Those are basically the arrivals and departures. And as you can see, there's more or less a balance between the arrivals and the departures. The bulk of our traffic is local, is South African citizens, because when you look at the airlines, Waterloo is mostly military, but Lanseria is mostly your local airlines. But there is a slight increase in Lanseria of foreigner traffic. The reason for that is because they started flying to Botswana, and I think there are now direct flights to Zambia. So there's a lot of there's now an increase in business. But the kind of traffic that you get at those airports are mostly your high-profile delegations, as well as some are for your emergency medical landings, people who come to South Africa for medical care, who are given medical permits to access that care. But there's a lot. There's an increase in traffic in Lanseria, but as you can see, when you look at the number of arrivals versus the departures, it more or less balances out. We can move on. And this is about refugee affairs. I know members are aware that we used to have two refugee reception offices in the province. We had Crown Mines, we had Marabastad, and the overflow for Marabastad is Diru, which is located at the showgrounds, Pretoria showgrounds. But Crown Mines was during the quarter closed down, and we have merged the staff of Crown Mines with Marabastad. So those are just the changes that happened during that quarter.
What does TRO stand for? Temporary.
You know what?
Kwane Interim Refugee Reception Office.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Those are the number of newcomers that we processed, the 2,400, and the Section 22 permits, that's now your asylum seeker permits, the extensions, we processed about 16,000 over the quarter. And refugee IDs that were processed is about 74, the applications received is 74, and IDs issued is 161. So we opened the quarter with some work in progress. And also status determinations, it's about 1,154 that were processed. Our findings were that 100 of them were manifestly unfounded cases, and the next category were unfounded, and those that were granted were about 33. So this is a clear indication that people who come to South Africa mostly, I hear seeking economic opportunities more than anything. So our refugee, this is something that we really need to focus on, and the department is focusing on this area to make sure that we safeguard our refugee, system so that it is not abused. If a person is here for economic, opportunities, we need to make sure that their skill profile actually adds value to the country. And hence, it's important for us to really focus on this area. But only 33 were found to be genuine refugees out of the number of cases that were adjudicated. But the challenge that we're facing really in that environment is, of course, the overcrowding at Marabastad office, not only Marabastad, but in all our refugee reception centers. And hence, as a department, we came up with a system called our electronic queue management system. We are piloting it in about, how many offices, Flora? About 13 offices nationwide. But our plan is to really extend it to even, the refugee environment, so that we better manage our queues in that environment, because you know, a lot of hazards happen while people are queuing, and a lot of even irregular activities happen when people are queuing. You know, there are economic opportunities. I mean, people are very enterprising. I'll queue for you, you give me so much. So, and such activities are associated with the department when it is not even a departmental matter, but it becomes associated with the department. So management of queues, addressing the issue of overcrowding is something that has become, you know, a priority for the department. And that is just the profile of the province. That level 14 post is the provincial manager. It is vacant at the moment, as it was earlier said. Our provincial manager, whom we can also say was a long-serving provincial manager, he left the department a month ago. So that post has been advertised. We have a vacancy under level 13, which is the Citibank post. So we are in the process of addressing that, and that is the profile. But as you can see, Gauteng has all, you know, you can never accuse it of not making sure that women are emancipated. I think we are far ahead of most, you know, majority of our staff members is women, and not just, you know, at lower levels, but at critical positions. And, you know, I think it says something about, you know, the kind of leader that we had. If we can move on to the next. That is just our vacancy rate as a province. We are, in fact, we are operating at a capacity level of 89%. Which is a very, you know, a very positive picture. We ensure that we really fill the post in those, you know, far remote service points, or should I call them small offices, so that when clients come to those offices, they must get the same benefit of services that we render in a district office, that we render in a regional office. And hence, it has always been our focus to make sure that we capacitate your small offices. It doesn't become a situation where, you know, we have to pull people from the counter from this office to go and service that office. They get there at 10 o'clock and have to leave at 2 o'clock. So it has always been our focus to make sure that we improve the quality of services in your multi-purpose in your Tucson centers and other small offices, including the mobiles. And on this note, I am also going to hand over to our Director of Finance and Support, Pumeza, to just take us through the budget. Thanks.
Good morning, Chairperson and the members of the committee. The steps as presented in that slide is at the end of July. We had included July month in the statistics. We did not take out the The total budget for the province is 339 million, of which 313 is compensation of employees. We have goods and services of 25,883. The outstanding commitments that you see on compensation of employees is over time that they have been worked, especially by the immigration officers that must go through, and then gives us the total projected expenditure as at end of July for the whole of the year to 360, which is 33. We have already spent 33% as of end of July. 103,000 was paid. In goods and services, we've got 25 million. We've spent about 5 million, with 2 million commitments, which put us at 28%. And the overall average for the first four months of the financial year is at 33%, which we are not doing very badly to the 50% that we must be at the end of the second quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, Pumeza. And here I'll just be taking you through our corruption cases. Corruption is really a challenge in Gauteng province. I think what we find is that criminals in that environment, in the urban environment, are smarter than us. And hence our challenge is to make sure that as a province, we also rise to the necessary levels of sophistication, and so that we are able to beat, you know, the criminal elements at their own devices. And hence it requires thorough investigation, so that when that matter is taken to the court of law, it must hold water. We no longer want comebacks, and hence most of our cases are still under investigation. In fact, we are resurrecting even old cases at the moment, like the 34 cases that you see under the first category, fraudulent identity documents, that either involve fraudulently obtained ID or photo swapping. We are investigating those. We have, among the 34 cases that are under investigation, some of them are old cases that we are resurrecting. And also, we have 9 cases that involved fraudulent passport application that are also under investigation. We have cases that also involve fraudulently obtained permits. But more than just arresting, you know, the foreign national who's found with a fraudulently obtained permit, we also want to also get to the officials that are involved in that chain. So hence the investigation is not only focusing on the perpetrator, but also who could have facilitated it within the system. And the next category, irregular issuing of birth certificates. Here, we have introduced a system called the Beckham system. It's basically our biometric access system, whereby when a person logs onto the system, they use their fingerprints and a data card that has unique information that is, that is assigned to the official. So you can never say somebody stole my user ID. It would have taken your fingerprint for you to log onto the system. So it means we are able to trace a transaction to a specific official, and hence, we are able to identify who registered that fraudulent birth, and the right action. We are able to take the right action as a department. And also other cases, there is one isolated case of irregular issuing of citizenship in any organization. I'm sure members are aware that there are delegations of authority, there are delegations of functions, and anything that is processed outside those delegations of authority is viewed as irregular, and hence we investigate. So that particular case relates to a matter like that. And also there are 2 cases of nepotism that are under investigation, but we have refined our processes in such a way that before the appointment is made, we were able to pick up on this, and hence there is that investigation relating to the 2. I'm sure, Flora mentioned earlier that we are on a recruitment drive at the moment. They appointed about 60 people. We as Gauteng appointed about 117 newly appointees, and these 2 cases were picked up in that process prior to the appointments being made. So those cases are under investigation. We have, we can move on to the next. 3 fraudulent marriage cases that are under investigation, and more than just addressing the issue of the subject of the fraudulent marriage, but also we are able to know who captured that marriage because of the biometric access system. And also we can even trace it to the marriage officer who solemnized that kind of a marriage. And with marriage officers, we have their database. We know where they are. We know how to locate them. In fact, when they submit their marriage registers, we online verify them to check if you are still the reverend, you know, that is registered on the system. We have copies of their ID documents so that we not only take disciplinary action against the official who facilitated, but also we can lay criminal charges against the marriage officer who's facilitating such marriages. Moving on to the next, the others, I mean, it's corruption theft, and I'm sure members have had the opportunity to go through them. We can move on to the next. This is just a summary of some of the challenges that we are facing. We tried to, you know, the challenges that are being addressed internally, we are addressing them. We just, you know, try to highlight, you know, just some of the challenges that we perhaps do not have control over as a province. And that's now in terms of hospital connectivity. The issue of equipment is being addressed, but you find that, you know, some of the hospitals would say, no, we can't give you accommodation, we're busy with our own refurbishments. We are moving the maternity ward to such and such a place, so therefore we do not have accommodation for you at the moment. So those are just some of the challenges that we are facing as a province. And also, in terms of the schools project, when at the beginning of every financial year, we usually, you know, call stakeholder meetings with Department of Education, with other stakeholders, to try and come up with a schedule for the year to say we will visit the school on such and such a date. We'll take in applications. Please alert the parents. Alert the children that we are coming. And we find that after we have agreed on those dates, the school no longer, other competing priorities, come up, and we are unable to render services on those dates. And on our side, we have very limited resources. So we find that, the rescheduling does create a challenge on our side. I mentioned the issue of overcrowding at our refugee reception offices, but also at some of our busy offices, like Harrison Street. But, like I mentioned, we are in the process of rolling out our electronic queue management system to try and address that so that we're able to measure the waiting times and the processing times. I don't know if colleagues have been able to see our electronic queue management system, but it basically, we have electronic signboards, that direct the client to the counter that will be able to assist them. It saves time. The benefit that we are deriving is that we are able to measure our own efficiency as a department, and also we are able to measure the number of transactions that officials at the counter actually perform on a daily basis. So it's also a performance management tool for us, and hence we want to roll it out to all our offices. And also another challenge that we are facing as a province: delayed completion of cases. It includes the same type of cases that Flora spoke about, your duplicate cases, the time it takes to finalize a duplicate case, your personal amendments, rectifications, even unabridged birth certificates. So that is a challenge that I believe head office is dealing with. And that also covers the issue of backlogs that exist in those environments. And the last challenge is basically birth registrations within the first 30 days of birth. This requires, I guess, a paradigm shift in our communities that you know, they must register first within the first 30 days, and hence we are doing everything we can as a department to make sure that we go out there, we educate members of the community through our stakeholder forums, so that, you know, mothers, because a child can't drag themselves to a local home affairs office. So it remains, you know, the responsibility of parents. Let me not just single out mothers, but it remains the responsibility of parents to ensure that they register best within the legislated period, which is the first 30 days of birth. And that brings me to the end of our presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Melira. Could we have the next presentation? It's in Mpumalanga.
Thank you.
If you want to put your experience, you can do it
sharp sharp. Yeah. I'm prepared to do it sharp sharp. Sure, as you have indicated. I won't bore you with the content of my presentation. However, I have to apologize for the misalignment of the dates. It might exceed the 3 months that we are looking at. But it brings about the message that we want to bring forward. In terms of the population in Mpumalanga, on slide number 4, you can see the largest being Tanzania with 1.8 million people, followed by Kangala with 1.1061. And all in all, the population in Mpumalanga in terms of the 2006 count is still 3,700. However, we believe with the new census that's on its way, we will increase on that. In terms of the alignment of our boundaries, Mpumalanga has got three districts, and which are Ehlanzeni, Kangala, and Gertsibande. In terms of Ehlanzeni, we've got 10 district offices together with 5 ports of entry. At Kangala, we've got 7 district offices. We don't have a port of entry there, but with Gertsibande with 7 offices with 6 ports of entry. I'm too quick for my operator. Okay, in terms of our footprint, you can see from the map that we are quite spread out in Mpumalanga. We're trying to cover up the whole area. The yellow are our ports of entry, as I've mentioned. We've got 10 land ports and 1 airport. In terms of our footprint, slide number 7 is showing that, and we have also brought about some footnotes so that it doesn't confuse honorable members as to what we mean by a visiting point, what we mean by a Tusong Center, and so on. The BP Bora Post and so on. Ehlanzeni has got all those offices that are appearing there, and as you page through, you'll find Gertsibande with those numbers of offices. I won't bore you naming them, and Kangala will also have those numbers of offices. Hence, I'm saying we are spread out quite extensively. Those are the number of offices that we are responsible for in terms of slide number 12. Slide number 13 goes with slide number 15, where we speak about our footprint in terms of our small offices, our mobile units, as well as hospitals.
the hospitals are reflected on page number 15, where we are showing the hospitals that are connected as well as those that are not yet connected due to refurbishment. You find that some of them were connected in the past, but due to their own refurbishment, they've moved us out, but we are renegotiating the space and we'll go back. We also have offices which were refurbished in Mpumalanga. We have Bethal, Barberton, Piet Retief, Yersterhoek, Komatipoort, White River, and Middelburg. If you go into these in these offices, you'll see that the setup is the same, and it shows a healthier atmosphere than in the past. This can be reflected on slide number 21. What we mean by refurbishment. So all the offices are now looking alike. If you go to any of these offices, you'll realize that yes, this is our first office. In terms of the queue management system, only two of our offices, however, as Lerato explained, that it is our intention to spread throughout with this queue management system because of the benefits that we realize with them. And we were fortunate to have some campaigns in Mpumalanga. For instance, we had this pillow paper train that came for 5 weeks, whereby people, together with other service providers, invited us, and we were there. It was in Karino, Kamel, Mkuhlu, for 2 weeks. It was in Beggarsford and Leidenbeck, Kinross, and we collected some applications as reflected on our slide number 19. Still with the expansion of our footprint, we moved into new offices in various places like Malelane. We were operating from a small service point, a small office, but now we are accommodated in a new office, the same as in Belfast. We moved into a new office in White River, and because of its catchment. However, the office that we used to operate from, which was the magistrate's office in Kapokweni, we are still there. We also relocated to the Evander office. We are now based at Secunda due to the services that we realize are needed by our communities, mainly Bombalenhle and so on. It's a wide catchment area. We are at service points like Bomarabiane, Leroro, Tusong centers. However, we have also difficulties that we encounter with the Tusong centers because usually we're not invited on the planning stages. We are only invited at the late stage, and you realize that the office itself doesn't, it's not suitable for our functions. You have to have a waiting area with mothers, crying babies, and so on. So you find that they give you a small little office, and our clients have to be outside in the air, rain, or underneath trees, and when it is raining, then it creates problems. We also are visible in health facilities, as indicated. I'm happy also to report that on the 1st, we'll be opening our new office in the private sector, in the private hospital, which is in Nelspruit Mediclinic. I believe the media will be there, and we'll be capturing the first baby. And born on that day. There is also a project.
Oh, I thought you had other children.
Okay. The Executive Management Committee realized that we've got a lot of undocumented immigrants in Mpumalanga, and thought of us profiling now to see who is with us in the country. There was a project that we undertook, and we are currently busy with the quality assurance. We have captured already, and we were done with the capturing. We visited about 12,000 families and captured all the people that are living in those homes, and most of them are undocumented and are living in the country. It is our intention that they should be given some form of recognition that they are in the country. We realize also that some kids were born in the country, they've already matriculated, and they are multiplying great numbers, but we don't know who is in the country. So this exercise will assist us in knowing who is with us in this country from outside, and who is not documented, and if he's given any form of documentation, we'll be able to can say we've got on top of our citizens say a certain number. You can see what we are doing at the background on page number 23. We are fortunate in Mpumalanga, we are able to work with many stakeholders, and before the elections, our stakeholder forums were disrupted by the elections. We had stakeholders with all our local municipalities as well as the district. We were just about to launch the provincial stakeholder forum. These stakeholder forums are assisting us a great deal. We are able to plan with them as to where to go out to, what services we are going to render. They are also assist us in loud hailing, informing people what the requirements would be, and so on. They help us a great deal, and we are currently reviving those stakeholder forums so that we can be able to take the services forward. In terms of the stakeholder forums, you also realize that there was a visit with our mobile units, where we visited quite a number of areas, more especially at the Kangala and Gertsiband areas, where we sent out our 10 mobile units to go and take applications from, and quite a number of villages were visited, and applications taken. In terms of our turnaround times, as reflected on page 26, you will realize that we are still within our 5 days in taking the IDs dispatched to BVR. We are trying our level best in controlling that. In terms of our LRBs, to page 27, you realize that we are moving ahead, and during that period, because these are weekly stats, this was the fourth week in July, where we were ranking on number two. And with LRBs, my colleagues have explained what we mean by LRBs, late registrations of birth, where you have to get the informa and so on. Mpumalanga is also doing its best, as you can see. We ranked number four in July. In terms of applications, as I mentioned earlier on, that we may be misaligned in terms of the quotas. On page number 29, those are the applications that we took in terms of IDs, 41,000, reissues, 26,000, birth registration below 30 days, 18,000, and late registrations of birth. These people did receive their certificates and ID books. We are bordering Swaziland and Mozambique, you realize that the passports, passport applications are quite a number. You can see there 24,000 child passports, 5,000 Maxi passports, expensive as they can be, and they are 333. And in total, you can see that figure, 35,000 of those applications were taken. We also visit schools, and in this era, we managed to visit 198 schools, and we took 6,624 applications. And currently, we've got a strategy that we are using in terms of visiting schools. We visit the circuits, and we request them to bring about some jamborees whereby quite a number of schools are coming together in order to do some activity, and we are there as Home Affairs to take applications. What we do is that we first go to the schools and find out as to how many people are pupils are without documents, and they are brought in to, on that particular day. Besides that, we are also visiting the various schools. We take applications from there. We did mention that we've got 10 land border posts. Oshook and Libombo are the border posts with the highest numbers. You will realize that within the past 6 months, we were able to register more than 2 million people going through those two ports of entry, besides the smaller ones. We also realize that next week we'll be starting, from the 1st of September. There are these African games in Mozambique, and we'll be more busier because we are to open for 24 hours. And we will register quite a number of people going through to Mozambique. It was, there is this location because last year they also opened for us during the World Cup, and now we shall have to open for them going into Mozambique. On page number 33, we are trying to show how busy Libombo border post can be. At times it's even difficult. They occupy the whole road. You can't move. Despite that, we have some facilities that we are using to clear the bulk passenger transport 7 kilometers from the border post. But still, we are faced with those numbers that are coming through. They stretch up to 9 kilos at times. And you can see we also devised some means of clearing facilities. That's a tent they are being cleared under on page number 34. And despite the other facilities where we are clearing them. So in terms of numbers of personnel, we realize that we do need quite a number of personnel at Libombo border post itself. We deported 4,812, as our colleagues have explained, that we are Swaziland and Mozambique are using us, or the illegals are coming through and make Mozambique and Swaziland their springboard into the country. This is despite the numbers that we deport on a daily basis, whereby people are caught around the borderline and so on. Those are deported forthwith. In terms of our personnel, the establishment currently with field posts is 691, and field 624. We still have 67 vacancies. I must say that we have already appointed 52 members in this current financial year, and the 67 is in the process of recruitment, and we are hopeful that within a very short space of time. And I want to apologize for the number there, which says 67 vacancies, and on the other side it's 61. It was a mistake. In terms of our equity, on page number 37, you realize that females are in the majority as well, 318, and males 306. My colleague will take the other slide, which deals with finances, Mr. Nemuchiri. Over to you.
Thank Chair and the members. For finance in Mpumalanga, I took the high level. Currently, we are sitting at 146 million budget, of which 132 million is for compensation of employees, and goods and service is 13,664,000, of which on the I took the expenditure, which coming around on the compensation of employees 16 million, and then goods and services is 2 million. Maybe one will say, wonder why there's a commitment in the compensation of employees, whereas the other didn't have. Here we talk about the issue of acting allowance, which have not yet been paid. Then we took as an outstanding commitment for compensation of employees. Now coming to 13%, you can see there that you were not moving in that area for compensation of employees. Some of the reasons, I think, were the acting PM already highlighted the issue of 67 posts, which have been funded for this period, but now not even filled. It can also be a contributing factor. Then when we go back on the next one, which is the goods and services, even though we are sitting at 34%, most of it on the commitment outstanding, which are the orders, service has not been rendered. Mm-hmm. Because now we are adding the commitment plus the expenditure coming to 4 million. And then with the issue of period, I made an adjustment there. It's not 30 June on that one. I took the expenditure up to the 24th of August, because in June there was a technical error in terms of the systems. I couldn't able to get the expenditure because the personnel was not interfacing to the basic accounting system, which is the reporting system. Then I took as to date to the 24th of August. And then you realize that by the 24th of August, we were supposed to come around 42% in terms of spending. And then we are very, very low in terms of spending, which was sitting at 15%. Now it means that we are underspending the overall of 27%. The other issue with regard to the goods and services, we had a meeting with our local office managers and regional managers. I tried to encourage them to go back to check their business plan and the operational plan so that they can start with the procurement plan, so that they can do the procurement plan for this particular quarter, so that we move up our expenditure way it's supposed to, because it can affect the delivery if we're not spending. And the other area that we did in terms of finances is the issue where we start to engage and showing our local office managers to start with the operation clean audit, which we in the province we did very well, where we reconstruct the asset register and we've been audited. And they found nothing in the province of Mpumalanga to date, which shows us that yes, we are doing well towards the operation clean audit for the province. With that, I can say on the finding of audit, only one item which are tapping error out of 60 that is selected. You can see that the province is doing well, which is a tapping error. Even though I know my colleague didn't mention the issue of the operation clean audit. With that, I really thank for the time for me to give the highlight of the finances in the province. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. In terms of corruption prevention, We've got five cases that are still pending. However, on Friday last week, there was a sweep at Libobogora Post where they took 14 of our immigration officers, 12 of whom were are permanent, and two of those services were terminated in January this year. However, all in all, from Home Affairs, it's 14. But also, we are not alone. There were also 10 SAPS members that were arrested in the same operation. So we are showing that we are not allowing corruption to happen in Mpumalanga. We do have challenges, though, as we did mention, and our colleagues have mentioned, like your human capacity. Hence, we are still visiting some areas instead of maybe being operating fully fledged for 5 days. We also have infrastructural in terms of accommodation in the rural areas where buildings are not easily, I mean, there are no buildings that are coming up, and as a result, you can't maybe have a better office in a rural settlement than Pondokis that we are using currently. We also realize challenges with the installation of data lines. The Malalan office that I mentioned earlier on took us about a year to get it cabled so that we could operate, could install computers. This is beyond us, but with CETA. And the other challenges my colleagues have indicated too. And we have a serious problem with cable theft. Some offices, as we speak today, in Komazi and the surroundings are not operational due to the fact that the cables were stolen. And that poses a challenge because as people go to our offices, they say Home Affairs cannot print a certificate and so on. Yet it's a problem that is beyond us. Chairperson, I thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Ezita and other officials who made presentations. Honourable members, it's time for questions. And I would like to appeal that we don't make no motivation. Number one. Number two, it will be two or three questions, not more than three questions per member, so that we give everybody a chance to ask a question. Not more than three questions per member, no motivation. I noticed Honorable Maduna Peterson, Honorable Hasiborne, Honorable Marcella, Honorable Lovemore, Honorable Makuba, Honorable McIntosh, Honorable Nomakanya, Honorable Hoitana, Honorable Tibedi. Yes, I noticed you, ma'am.
We have to start with Limpopo, or we can ask questions. We can post questions.
No, I think ask questions where you want to ask. The officials will note their questions. My first question is with regard to Limpopo, I'm sure. The ones that the people who mentioned the door to door, is it Limpopo or Gauteng? I'm not sure. That there are youth that are doing delivering door to door IDs. My worry is it not against the law that we give the youth to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Because I understand that the ID document is the responsibility of the official of the department to do that. My second question is with regard to the asset register. I didn't hear other people mentioning the asset register. I was, we were informed, if I remember well, that there are officials who are going to be appointed in the different provinces to to be responsible for other places. And I have often acting allowance. That Kobesa, I think, I'm not sure. I wonder how much are we spending with regard to acting allowance, because we have most people acting in our provinces. Over to you, Mayor Madonna Peterson.
Thank you, Chairperson. That's for Limpopo. On slide 8 and 10, why does Vembe District have 18 offices and Capricorn only 10? And when they have similar population sizes, I just want to clarify on that. And then for Mpumalanga, on slide 22, are deportation numbers always higher in the beginning of the year? And is this true maybe to increase illegal travel in December? And then for Gauteng, on slide 4, how are the indicated regions decided upon? Is it according to the population or municipal demarcation or number of offices? Thank you,
Chairperson. On the original presentation, the slide that we had originally from Gauteng, your slide 36 indicated that there is incompetent security services. That was not quite clear to me. I need clarity on that. With Limpopo, your problems bridge on your slide 21. Can I stop speaking for a second? Your slide 21. The lack of information on your arrivals, like your 000, what causes that? Is it because of lack of capacity on that? Is it for or on your Zanzibar, yes, thanks. Yeah. Is it lack of capacity or what's going on there? I think that's what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, listen, thanks for the opportunity. I'm sure that it would have been better to have dealt with this at the time of the presentation. Now you can see the challenge. Given the circumstances, though, we are going to what's best under the time constraints. My questions, I think this will be generic, on the three provinces, I think the area of corruption, it does call on the department to, on a national level now, to ensure that we focus mainly on vetting and implement that speedily across the board. And it does really become a challenge. If you look at the past now on the Libombo border for the post, you go everywhere, there are challenges insofar as that is concerned. But it's just that now we're fortunate, Chairperson, that this part occurred at the time. And I'm sure many will learn from that process. But also what becomes evident is that the corruption is not only seen outside the precincts of Home Affairs. It is the problem that you find within and in collusion with some of the government officials and corruption, and obviously the corruptor being the client. Now my question, Chairperson, is why there is many pending cases. You know, you look in all these presentations, there are pending cases. So one province will answer for their problems. Now, let me also say that, the person, I was quite initially set aback by the fact that you can't do appointments because you don't have a woman or a female. What I support transformation and in the main, the progressive approach in ensuring that women do occupy senior position in the department, but let us not do that at the expense of those who must get the services. So if we were to achieve 60-40, it's fine. I do welcome that women have been oppressed not only by the system of apartheid, but also at home by their husband. But now let us make sure that we don't delay the processes of transformation and service delivery because of the other. The last one, the person is of course the general problem around staffing. You go across the board, either they are unfunded or they are funded, but very little progress to fill the vacancies. So if we could please fast track on that particular one. And you remember, even if you talk about those that are not present here, hence that also becomes a national challenge to ensure that we are at the position where we can say now the money that we have as a department is committed to all the areas, especially in the positions that are funded. So I think, Tina, as the portfolio committee, our role is to ensure that we speak to the budget and to what extent can we influence the budget component that it be increased to fund the positions that are not funded. If you look at the Libombo one, how could you have positions in that province that are not funded, yet you have so much, so much influx of people walking into that board? I'm sure that is the challenge that we're having there. Thank you very much, Chairperson. That's my three questions.
Thank you, Chair. I really find it very frustrating, I must say, to be limited to three questions because there's so much information and so many questions that arise. I realise that, Chair, that there are three provinces and a lot of information. Chair, I must say that I am very disappointed that none of the presentations, and I realise there was a template, I don't know if it was given to the provinces by the DG or his office, but none of the presentations tie up with the strategic objectives of the department. The strategic objectives of the department are not done in terms of the number of ID applications or the number of LRBs or whatever. It's done in terms of turnaround time. And we actually have absolutely no measurement of turnaround time whatsoever. So that makes it very difficult to understand how well people are being served. Chairperson, I will limit myself to three under absolute duress. Limpopo, first of all. The duplicates, why are they so high? They are very high. Duplicates received from head office, slide number 27, 194 duplicates returned to head office, 256, I presume. And you can correct me, that this is where one ID number has been allocated to two people. There are only some offices that are experiencing a problem with duplicates, so I wonder if you could just give us some information on that. Then with respect to Mpumalanga, I'm very sensitive to the constant focus, and the same thing came up in the Gauteng presentation, the constant focus, and it needs to be there, on immigrant communities, particularly from our northern provinces. But this profiling of immigrant communities, I'm really concerned about. Profiling of communities is one thing. Profiling of immigrant communities is targeting. It absolutely is. Now, you cannot document immigrant communities if they are illegal immigrants. What you need to do is arrest them and deport them, obviously. Profiling of communities would be done through census. Why is Home Affairs undertaking this this project. Can you give us some additional information? I'm very uncomfortable with it. Is it a national project that you are piloting? And maybe if we get more information, it will be not such a source of discomfort. Chairperson, with respect to Gauteng, on page 21, it dealt with refugee affairs, which is obviously quite a problem. And there are many questions that arise here. The status determination cases adjudicated, 1,154, your Section 22 permit extensions and your newcomers, you've got in the region of 18,500 people waving. I mean, you're not coping. You're not keeping up with the number of people. So there's clearly a problem there. Chair, I have many complaints from Gauteng, as I'm sure this department or the provincial office does, of particularly Nigerians, but of illegal immigrants who have got living in communities, who have got South African IDs. I didn't see that coming up anywhere or to a great extent within the presentations. Your immigration officials, have you got enough? Are they actively seeking out illegal immigrants within communities? Can they react when people complain about illegal immigrants? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. My questions will relate to all three provinces. I'd just like to hear the comments on one. The rate of reissue of IDs, has it changed since the price increase? Just want to know what is happening now. And the ID collections, are you guys not having a challenge with IDs that are sitting in your office and not being collected after being issued out? And the last question is on duplications also. I just want to know if the department has got a way of finding these duplicates in the system before a person actually comes to the office to complain about a duplication. And how are the death-related duplicates dealt with in these three provinces? I'd like to know, because we've heard when we do oversight from other provinces how they help those who come to lodge a complaint when a person has died and they need assistance. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can I first of all say how impressed I am by the three officials who delivered their presentations. They obviously concerned about the challenges, they were on top of their game, and they're well aware of what needs to be done. So thank you for that. It's great to have civil servants like that working for South Africa. Mr. Zika, I'd like to start with. The new offices that you've just opened, I'd just like to know, how does the department, first of all, decide on the location of an office? I'm not saying, I mean, I know each town, but where do you find the premises? Who refurbishes it? Is it the Department of Public Works, or is it private property owners? If you could perhaps explain that, and probably that applies to the whole of South Africa. My second question is to Ms. Afilaka. The question of the Marabastat scandal, which of course went all around the world, unfortunately, and it seems to me that it's directly a function of the closing of Crown Mines. Now, what concerns me is, did you make an impact study of what the effect would be of closing Crown Mines, and is Tiro, the Trane immigrant reception area, an attempt to address the crisis which the department caused by closing Crown Mines? And linked to that is these immigrant profiles. I actually think it's great that you're doing the immigrant profiles, because we actually don't know. It's a mystery how many immigrants there are in South Africa. I mean, we don't even have a guesstimate. It's just, and if the immigrant profiles are going to help us to find out how many, more or less, immigrants there are in South Africa, I think that will be a huge step forward, although I don't know that it's the Department of Home Affairs responsibility, maybe Statistics South Africa could. And maybe you could just tell us a little bit more about that. And the third question to Ms. Motsitsi is this appointment of a senior official who's female. What concerns me is there a cut-off date? Does the department say, look, we're going to do our best to find a top female, but if we haven't found one in 6 months, we're not going to allow the people to suffer for the sake of that appointment. Could we understand that? And in such of the headhunting, do you offer them extra money because a human being happens to be female, or do you get them hunted? Will you get them re-hunted? You said you'd have another one. So, you could just help us about how you address that problem and make sure that the citizens are served.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My first question will be based on slide 26, housing. You've made mention of the fact that parents at hospitals haven't decided what name to give the child and must first consult with the other parents. My question is that I just want to know if there is any current legislation or regulation that can be used to ensure that parents at least register children with temporary names, which they could then change later once a proper name has been chosen. My other question is from Mpumalanga province. I just want to know how many of the port of entries have permanent staff. My second question from Mpumalanga: what are the reasons for the significant underspending on compensation for employees and overspending on goods and services? Because on compensation of employees, we are sitting on 13%, and goods and services is 34%. Then we are having a very, very low spending, that is 15%. So I need clarity on that. My last question from Mpumalanga: what plans are in place to address the shortages in this province? Thank you very much.
Honourable Patron.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my first concern, I think it's cut across all the three provinces. There's a high revenue that is received by different provinces. And are there any monitoring mechanisms that are in place to avoid corruption? And the second one, it goes to Gauteng. Gauteng is densely populated, and there was an issue about the informal settlement that I did not get what is the turnaround strategy to the informal settlement and the refugees that are in the informal settlement. What is the turnaround strategy that they are going to have to monitor all those? And secondly, I did not get any report on Lindela. Is it Lindela or Lindelani? What happened to it? There is no report on that particular one. And lastly, Chair, is Mpumalanga. The influx at Libombo, what mechanisms are there to avoid corruption? Because influx attracts corruption. So therefore, in that border post, there must be a lot of corruption that is taking place. What are the mechanisms that are there to monitor that there is no corruption that is taking place? And lastly, Chair, In Mpumalanga, at a senior level, at managerial level, it's only males. There are no females. And in your districts or regions, whatever you call it, but there are no females. It's only males at that particular level. And say, I wish Parliament could fast track the equality bill so that as members of Parliament, we are in the same understanding that it's time that women are taken seriously and are at all levels, not only at lower levels. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Speaker.
Well, thanks, my question, I think,
it cuts across, and maybe it's a question that should actually be raised with head office. Let me raise it in any case. I think the issue around the registration at birth, I think my colleague there fully touched on it, but I just want to come from a different angle. And I want to link this question here to the whole question of the stakeholder forum as enunciated by Mpumalanga. To make a point that when I look at the stakeholders as reflected here, it seems to me it's the stakeholders of clusters and maybe municipalities and so on. But I think if we were to address this question, because it's deep-rooted in culture and stuff like that, I'm wondering if maybe the department is not considering partnering with traditional leaders in this aspect, so that the message can go out there to especially parents in rural areas specifically, to advise them or to request them to say that at least before going to hospital for labor, at least there should be at least some kind of a decision around the name, because the child is not something that comes by surprise. It's a process. Yeah, it's a process. So during that process, I think issues of playing around with names can actually be considered. So I'm therefore chair-raising that maybe the traditional leaders as part of the stakeholders can play a role in terms of assisting in that respect. The second one relates to the Lebombo border post. It's fascinating to hear that Chiu sometimes stretches to as long as 9 kilometers, which is quite a long distance. Now, I don't know whether this long queue suggests that there are no illegal crossings. In other words, everyone crosses through the legal border post, or what does it mean? What does it translate to? Because related to that, I wanted to ask a question that says that what is the role of Sarabian National Defense Force in terms of assisting in monitoring the border line, actually. Because the high number of influx here says to me that at least many people choose to use the legal route. But that does not actually take away the fact that there might be others who are using illegal routes. And I think SANDF can play a role. And link to that also, what in relation to this, what would then be the working hours of the staff there to deal with these long queues? When you close them at night, you just cut the queues and say, time up, or how does it work? Or do you work extended hours to try and address this? The last issue I want to raise in the chair also, which I think it will be cross-cutting, is the whole question of cable theft. I think, you know, cable theft is becoming a more serious crime now. It stops the house trade, basically, from so it's something that we have to take serious, because it's not a simple matter of poverty. It's highly sophisticated kind of crime. So I'm saying, therefore, that Home Affairs, together with affected departments, need to come together, put their heads together and say, how bad can we deal with this particular matter? Because we may take it as an isolated incident. But I can tell you, because it's a fleshy market, it will grow as fast as we are not going to believe. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Dr. Kubese, the team here, how you may respond to questions raised by honorable members.
thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, for the questions and the insight. Some of the issues raised are actual statements that speak to and hence are going forward. As the Honorable Members are aware, we are still coming back with other six provinces. So many which then that's going to assist us, whatever you raise is going to assist us to improve other presentations that are coming in the next batch, next week, and the week after next. What I'll do is, Honorable Members and Honorable Chair, is just to take questions that are generic that can be answered at the head office level. Then I'll allow provinces to deal with specific questions. If, Chair, just to respect what DG said last week, DG said he wants this to be interaction between the portfolio committee members and the provinces. So we do not want to answer on their behalf, but I'll just answer questions that they might not have answered for. I'll start with the question that you raised around the issue of the acting allowance. I think what we need to do, Chair, I don't want to come stuck a figure from my head. I'll ask we do have the statistics around the cost of acting allowance. The Minister, Honorable Chairperson, in the last EMC, which took place 2 weeks ago, the Minister made it clear, very clear to the Department, that she will no longer find any acting allowance or any acting position or capacity. The reason that is tied back to the question that is being raised about the high vacancy rate, the unfilling of positions. Honorable Chairperson, when the DG made a presentation last week, he did indicate that for the fourth quarter, the Department has 1,400 positions that are vacant, unfilled. And he said he wants the province to answer why they're filling those positions. Because we're struggling, we don't know why people are filling positions. The money is there, the positions are there, but people are not filling the positions. So then it is for the province to answer why they're not filling those positions. Because then, what then that leads to, it is to us, then they have to appoint people on lifting capacity, why there's money available to fill positions. So they have to answer for themselves why they're not filling positions. I'll also deal with the other question that is raised by the Honorable Marcela around the issue of the vetting of officials. Yes, Honorable Member, we had a meeting with the state secretary. We had made a policy department that we collect all the vetting forms from all our officials. We submitted them to the state security agencies. Unfortunately, we do not, once we submit all the information, then the ball is out of our court. It's sitting with state security agencies. We had had at a JCPS cluster level, we had had an engagement with state security, with all the security departments in the JCPS cluster, and there's an agreement that Home Affairs will be the second priority when it comes to the vetting of officials. So they have assigned a team specifically to look at Home Affairs. It is moving very slow. They indicated to us that persons to vet or to go through an investigation of one person, it takes a period of between 4 to 6 months, that's one individual. So we did submit for all our officials. We're still waiting for the state security to be able to come back with feedback. So it's unfortunately it's an issue that is beyond our control. But also through the state security, Honorable Member, we had asked that they engage the Department of Defense. Those defense does have defense intelligence. But in terms of the act, it's only the state security that can do the vetting near. But they can also subcontract with the Department of Defense Intelligence. So we've asked them to engage the Department of Defense to be able to assist to beef up their capacity because it is affecting our operations. Around the issue of trying to reach gender equity and its impact on service delivery, yes, I remember we take note of that and we ensure that in positions wherein we had advertised and we couldn't find suitable candidates, that we have been able to deploy people who are capable enough to be able to act in those positions. For all the positions that we are seeking for a suitable candidate, there is a person acting in that position, so meaning with service delivery is not being impacted. But also we do have a time frame upon which if we can't find a suitable individual for that position, then we'll be able actually to fill a position with whoever is available. So it's not an infinitum process wherein we'll look forever and ever, but there's a timeline. And the Minister has given us clear deadlines that by this time those positions should have been filled. So at least we're making a commitment to ensure that if we will be able to fill the positions and that service delivery is not being impacted upon because of us seeking for a suitable candidate. To Honorable Lagmore, around the issue of how did you go about in terms of the presentations themselves. As a department, you remember what we said was that we didn't want to dictate to provinces what is it that should, they should submit to the portfolio committee. What it did was to keep in a template that they had to fill in. So it was up to them to see how they play around the data that they bring together. During the presentation, I did note weaknesses. I did also note the impact it had when people add slides, that it does disrupt the momentum of the meeting. Also, it affects the members in terms of concentration, also to be able to catch up with what is being said. But what you didn't do is that we didn't say to members, they must link their presentation to the strategic plan. I came out of that weakness, that there's no linkage between what they present in the strategic plan. And I will ensure that with the presentation that are coming for other provinces, at least we should be able to create that linkage, so that at least whatever we say, there's a logical flow in what they're saying and what is said when the TV presented last week. We will ensure that that happens. Around the issue also, what I'd love more of us duplicate. In the department, yes, there is a problem around duplicate. It's a problem that we think at a national level, also we're addressing it. The DBT Civil Services, Mr. Mkhize, where the minister is asking to set up a task team that is going to be able specifically to focus on duplicate. There are different categories of duplicate. What the minister has requested us to do was to ensure that the category wherein you've got more than one individual sharing an IT, that should be a top priority. But if you've got more than one person sharing an IT, that means the other person's life gets affected. But in instances where you've got people with multiple ITs, then that one can be a second level of concentration to collaborate. So we do have a task team. The DC meets every Tuesday with the task team, also with all the ExCom members, to be able to receive a report on how we address the duplicate. What then I can do, Honorable Chairperson, maybe when you're coming back next week, maybe I can ask the DC Civic Services to accompany the team so that we can be able to present a report on the duplicate as to where we are now. That is, the task team has been meeting for the past 2 months. There is a lot of progress that is happening in terms of how we're addressing. So it is that we can be able to address that. We do have a report that goes to the EMC every second week. The EMC, that is the minister, the deputy minister, and all the DHS. That's called EMC, the Executive Management Committee. Around the issue of the profiling of immigrant communities, Honorable Lamont, that issue came as a result of the visit by the Deputy President to Mpumalanga. The people of Mpumalanga raised an issue that there are communities in the border line, who are Mozambique and Swaziland, who are where in areas of Swaziland where there's no fence. People just move in between. And you find that some of those people have been in the country for quite a number of years. But what and those people are attending schooling, they are benefiting from services inside the country. So what the Deputy President said should happen to the department, he said that let's do the profiling as a pilot in three municipalities in Mpumalanga, that was Komazi, Bushbuck Ridge, and Komazi, Bushbuck Ridge. So what you do in Mpumalanga is just a pilot project that's going to be extended to other provinces. But when you undertake the project and report it to cabinet, also other cabinet ministers raise an issue, say that, but that's not only concentrated in Mpumalanga only, also in other provinces, we still have the same situation happening. So it's a pilot project that's going to be extended, also it's supported to in cabinet. So it's not a departmental project. It's not a project that was initiated by the department, but it's what the deputy president asked to do, because he was responding to the issues that were being raised to say that you've got communities that are not documented, that are sitting on borderline areas. Also, that issue was raised, Honorable Lovemore, within the context of the department when we are rolling out our lead resistance of race process. So, meaning it does combine well with our documentation of citizens. Because when we documented citizens, it means that also there were people who were not being attended to, which are immigrants who have been in the country for a longer period of time. So, it does tally to it in that way. Around the issue, I think. Okay. I'll go to also Honorable McIntosh. Also, you also did raise the same issue. Yeah. Also, I did also attend to the issue that you raised, the issue of balancing between headhunting and service delivery with the Honorable McIntosh. And the last question before the last one I attend to is the issue that is being raised by Honorable Member around the issue of the legislation or regulation to force parents to register temporary names. unfortunately, we do not have that legislation or regulation that forces that the department can force parents to register children when children are born in hospitals, if it's voluntarily. If not, also, Honourable Member, Tinlele, also, there is an issue to say that why don't we work together with transgender leaders? It has emerged through the GPT Minister that it's not an issue only for African communities. Also, Hindus have got the same issue, even Muslims have got the same issue. You know, so it's an issue that cuts across based on religion and culture. So it's something maybe we need, the Honourable Members, as a Portfolio Committee, maybe need to take up, maybe to introduce a legislation, you know, to be able to regulate it. But we do, in terms of our stakeholder forum, they are as broad as they can be. In instances, for instance, KZN in Mpumalanga, wherein you've got traditional leadership, you do have those traditional leadership institutions sitting in part of the stakeholder forum. So we do not have a limitation as to the stakeholder forum. We ensure that whoever is within the community gets represented as a member of the stakeholder forum. I'll then give over to my colleagues. Flora will start with all her questions, then other colleagues will follow. Thank you very much.
Regarding the question on the youth delivering IDs, the department has come up with a project to develop a home affairs youth. This in includes people who are aged between, I think, 18 to 35. Even our DDG, CFO, is 35 years. She's part of the youth. So it's youth that are employed within the Department of Home Affairs. So we are using them because this was their own initiative that they would like to deliver these IDs, that they want to deliver a message to South Africa that there is a new youth in Home Affairs that is totally opposed to corruption, that is patriotic, that loves their country. So that is a message that they want to convey in Limpopo. So it's not any youth from outside, but they are employees for Home Affairs. Regarding the issue of offices, why there are 18 offices in Vembe and Capricorn, there are 10 offices. If you know the community in Vembe area, that community is involved in what we are doing as Home Affairs. If there is a stakeholder forum that are cooperative when it comes to our issues, that meet daily, and that helps us to run the department, and that provides us with information, especially with people that don't have IDs, especially with students that want to go and register or that are writing exams. The community is involved, especially the chiefs in that area. So they were willing to avail offices, I think, for over a number of years to Home Affairs without any rental. So several offices that Home Affairs is occupying in those areas, close to 11 of them, we are not paying any rent whatsoever. And it can even go more than 11 offices. So we are occupying and rendering service. The idea was that they wanted Home Affairs to be closer to their communities so that they can render services. However, this doesn't happen in Capricorn. Capricorn, you have to rent. It's either you have rental or you can't get space. So we only received a few offices as compared to Vembe. However, the problem that I'm encountering regarding Vembe now, we have these many offices. There was no consideration regarding HR capacity because you would be given office space, you're open, and you don't have HR, you don't have infrastructure, you don't have computers. So you take from the main office, from Toyando, for instance, and you deplete Toyando to capacitate these smaller offices. So that's why we are trying to beef up when it comes to Vembe area, we are trying to beef up from the regional office itself. Unlike in Bulukwani, we are beefing up the smaller offices and open more offices, especially in Capricorn and Sikukuni. The issue about Zanzibar, white sets are zero. I mentioned that this port is in most cases flooded, and even our staff has been taken to other offices. They can't operate there. It was flooded for most of the part of this year. So they haven't gone back to Zanzibar. So there are no statistics, there's no movement there. In essence, the port has been closed. So that's why it's a zero. Regarding the issue of corruption in the department, yes, we do have corruption. Corrupt officials, corrupt activities are happening. But what has happened in April 2011, not in April, in June,
2011, the department appointed deputy directors that are specializing in counter-corruption. Unfortunately, it's one person and an assistant director was appointed. And looking at the vastness of Limpopo, is this deputy director investigating all the cases from human trafficking and human smuggling and officials that are corrupt? And these cases, once they've gathered them, there's nothing that they can do in the province. It's still a function that is centralized. They have to go to Pretoria where they are investigated and prosecution takes place. So some of the cases we get from the security agencies, some of them from the police, some from the officials themselves. And there's only two officials that are doing this job. Regarding the issue of appointments of directors, at the moment, as a provincial manager, I have three directors that are male and no female director whatsoever. In my meetings, it's myself and three males, Director Finance, Director Mr. Mabunda for Mopani, and Director for Capricorn, who has been deployed to KZN. And the minister has emphasized the fact that we are going to comply with the priorities of government. We are going to implement the decisions that have been taken. So it's women. We have recommended people at some stage, but because the department already had a representation of 64 male at management level and less than 40% at management level regarding females, our proposals were not approved. They were 10 stakes. So we went on a headhunting exercise, and this is the exercise that we will be finalizing by the end of this month.
I think yes.
Regarding the duplicates, yes, the number is high. But what we depend on, again, head office to resolve our cases. And the delays have been to trace the witnesses, to get statements, and to revert back to us as a province. Hence, I said we have sent a person, deployed a person in Pretoria to come to at least resolve Limpopo cases. I don't know about other provinces, but with us as a strategy, and it has been working for us. And then the reissues, yes, the number of people applying for reissues has decreased drastically.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian.
The danger was exactly this one. Because there are questions that I've raised which were universal, generic questions. One is, what are you doing to address the pending corruption cases which are not resolved? The second question is, the one around the filling of vacant positions, so which is generic across the board. Thank you.
So far, the corruption cases that we've had, we have referred, as I said, we have appointed a deputy director, and those cases have been referred to that deputy director. They are dealt with from head office. However, there are cases that are so... they are done and there's nothing that you can do except call the police to arrest the person. But most of the cases, the arrest that you've seen on TV is arrest initiated by Pretoria and coming to arrest in my offices. And the cases that I have, most of them is labor-related cases where a person has been found guilty in a case and we want to finalize the dismissal, etc. And then about the post that we need to feel really. I can say the delay this time, it's on my part because we have to still to fill in the level 7, that is the supervisor's post. We were given funding regarding that, and we were given funding regarding the staff for the hospitals, And then for the directors, as I said, we haven't been able really to identify people, but that process as well is going to be finalized by the end of this month.
Who does your assets register?
Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Rams. There are two questions that cut across and which relates to finance. I'll try at least to touch base on them. The first one is the issue of the asset register. Yes, the process of asset verification was done across the provinces. So that in preparation for the audit, and indeed audit, the audit team did visit two offices for Limpopo. The first one was Pwando and the second one was District Office Malamulele. The finding thereof was in terms of almost five assets, which were from the process was like this. They will have the asset register, then they will take assets, information from the asset register to test if those assets we can able to trace them on the floor. Yes, everything was found to be in order. Then now they pick from the floor back to a register to check if your asset register is complete. We were found to be wanting at least five items which were on the floor, but unfortunately information was not populated on the asset register. The fortunate part is even though that information was not found to be there, it's not that material currently to the department getting the qualification report, which is a good thing, but we believe the issue of matter of emphasis to say going on, we need to get our house in order, we need to have control in place. Yeah, that's what basically happened with the issue of assets. And the other issue of one asset, the description, we say it's a finger scanner, the one that they normally tell the biometrics, wherein in fact the proper description was a printer, which of course is a matter of emphasis as far as the issue of how you classify your assets. Not, it doesn't have that material value in terms of the complete negation. We need to improve on that one. And the other four, I'm generalizing the office, not mentioning specifics to the which office, was fine. We compiled the asset register with the condition of an asset to say, yes, this table is fair. It can still be usable or it's not in good condition. Then they take that information from the asset register. Then they will ask the official, is this asset working or not working? Normally, that the temptation was there, right? It is not working, which is basically contrary to what you've indicated initially on the asset register. Then the information indicated by the AG was, you indicated these assets to be in fair value in your asset register, but in actual sense, when we get there, we get a contrary view to say it's not in good condition, which is one of the issues that, looking where we come from, yes, we have so much to learn. We still have to have many workshops. I heard this is the first time to have this kind of issues. It's a learning curve, which it was not that much deep, but we acknowledge those findings. Yes, we're going to move forward and have an audit plan on that. Moving to the second issue, which is cut across, generic, is the issue of the revenue collection. Honorable member raised the issue to say, yes, revenue is being collected, lots and lots of that, but whether we do have controls in place to ensure that those monies, they don't get vanished. Yes, currently we do have process and procedures in place to manage revenue, to say as and when we receive those revenue, that revenue needs to be recorded. And when it, on a daily basis, the money needs to go to the bank, needs to be banked to avoid the issue of theft. And on the process, we need to have a supervisor, we need to monitor the process. The issue of the segregation of duties as promoted by PFMA, and more importantly, on a monthly basis, the issue of the reconciliation of the monthly returns to say what has been banked corresponds to what has been captured on the system. That has been done on a monthly basis. I hope those controls are sufficient, and this is time we'll find to be wanting, but we hope we can keep on improving day in, day out. Thanks, Honorable.
The next Okay, starting with the first question about the asset control officers. No, they have not yet been appointed, but as you heard, it is a function that managers know they must perform. You know, safeguarding of state assets is their first and foremost responsibility, and hence we have been doing it ourselves. Going to the question about slide number 4, how do we decide on regions? In the past, as a department, our demarcations were not really aligned to municipal boundaries, and that really created challenges in terms of interfacing with your stakeholders, you know, at the provincial level, at the municipality level, as well as at a ward level, because that is where communities reside. And hence, we had to align our new operating model to the municipal boundaries. And hence, we've come up with those 5 regions that are actually closely aligned to the local government municipal demarcations. We have Tshwane region, you know, that also reflects the picture after the local government elections. We have West Rand, you know, Sidibeng and so forth, and the 3 metros that exist that exist in Gauteng province, to correct that kind of a challenge, because really it was difficult for our stakeholders to know who to talk to when we are in Tshwane, who do we talk to when we are in Ekurhuleni. So the alignment is done according to the municipal boundaries. Moving on to the generic question about, I guess the process we're following in terms of filling of posts. As Gauteng, we are standing on 117 filled posts as at the 1st of July. It is out of a number of 139. So more or less we are on 84%. The process is still continuing in terms of finalizing those posts. We recognize, we acknowledge the importance of making sure that we capacitate our offices, and the target we've given ourselves is November. So we are really pushing hard to make sure that the 139 funded posts are filled. And moving on to the next one, from Honorable Lovemore about the profiling of communities. We are also careful not to target any specific nationality, and hence we are doing this profiling. And I know in Mpumalanga it was explained that it is a focused project, but in Gauteng how we're doing it is through stakeholder forums. We have designed a little survey form. It's a household survey. And we've said to our stakeholders who are community development workers, we're using community development workers, we're using ward committee members, we're using volunteers such as NGOs, those that are in the business of home-based care and things like that, as they do their door-to-door visits as part of their daily activities. We ask them to also just determine from all the households that they visit, are there any persons below the age of 18 who do not have either an ID or who does not have a birth certificate, or people above the age of 18 who also do not have a birth certificate or ID. So that way it gives us an idea of whether we have unregistered citizens or not. The main aim, what we're trying to achieve out of that exercise, because it's done at the mercy, it's just a gentleman's, arrangement with our stakeholders, and we are at the mercy of them doing it. It's not really something that we are pushing very hard. But what the information we're trying to extract is, in all the communities that we are servicing, where we have these stakeholder forums at a ward level, the people that are in that ward, are they South African citizens, yes or no? And if they are not, what is their legality in the country? So that when we do arrange operations, we more or less know that we have a high concentration of non-South African citizens in a particular area. So we are doing it in that approach. It's not something that we are not out there out to target anybody specifically, but it's just management information that we are collecting, and hence it was a management initiative to even design that tool. That is a household survey form. It was just an initiative on our side. We're implementing it in the West Rand and in City Bay regions. Moving forward, about the refugee affairs, yes, I think your observation is quite correct in terms of the number of, applications, or should I call it the demand for these services and our ability to adjudicate over such cases. There is, a serious capacity challenge. But I think what the numbers of the number of cases that we have adjudicated, I think that those numbers also communicate a message to us. If out of 1,150 that have been adjudicated, only 33 are genuine cases, that margin tells us that our systems are being abused. So hence, as a department, there is a need for us to really review our asylum management processes. And part of part of the response that we have made as a department is to, of course, review our legislation. We are in the process of doing that. But also, when you look at the nature of asylum seeking, we had to look at the positioning of some of our reception centres and say to ourselves, let's put them near the border post, because if indeed it is a genuine case, it would be somebody who is fleeing from their country, and naturally they would be entering through a border post, and hence there is that policy decision to move our refugee reception centres nearer to the border posts or nearer to the post of entry, so that it is not people who are already in the country who seek to legalize themselves through the asylum, process, who actually abuse the system. So we are looking at various facets of that particular challenge that's facing the department. And maybe moving on to terrorists, I think that has been responded to. There has been a significant reduction, in number of reissues. And moving on to uncollected IDs, yes, we have a strategy in place. It has been reported that, other provinces are using the youth. We are using our mobile teams to deliver the IDs. We, on a weekly basis, conduct a physical count in our offices, how many uncollected IDs. And ever since the tariffs have gone up, we have seen a great increase, because then people all of a sudden remember that I once applied for an ID, let me go and collect it. So there is, we are seeing a change in behavior from our customers, and which is a very positive thing. And even the IDs that were safeguarded at head office at ID filing, we see a lot of requests, for retrieval of those IDs. So there is a change in behavior, a positive change in behavior, because then customers are beginning to attach the necessary value on their ID document. It's no longer, I want to change my ID because I want to update my hairstyle on the ID photo. But, people are beginning to attach value and there's no longer a high rate of application, for reissues. And there was a question around proactive measures that we have in place in terms of addressing the issue of duplicates. Do we have a way of identifying the duplicate case before the client comes? I think that was my understanding of the question, and the answer is yes. Mostly with especially with where it's one person, who has multiple ID numbers. When their fingerprints are captured, you know, it would, you know, it would create a hit on the system that there is more than one ID number allocated to this particular person. And we once also had a project called the back record conversion, where we were taking all the old records and converting them into electronic format. Where, you know, during the introduction of HANIS. And HANIS is the Home Affairs National Identification System that captures the fingerprint and other demographics. Now, through that process, we were able to identify people that had multiple ID numbers and also those that, you know, that are sharing ID numbers. Major mentioned that we are prioritizing the cases where it's more than one person sharing an ID number, because obviously, you know, the two cannot continue with their lives, and hence it's important when we find, when one of them respond to our call, we always make sure that we resolve that case, you know, that particular case. In the past, our resolution was dependent on also finding the second person, but because sometimes there is fraud and corruption in these processes, you find that the second person does not come forward. And, you know, the life of the person who does come forward becomes affected. So we have now introduced business processes whereby we resolve it, whether the second person or the third person comes forward or not, we are able to resolve it, provided we have all the documents and we've gone through all the investigations that are necessary. There was a question around duplicate death cases. What processes, what measures do we have in place for that? There is a dedicated team at head office. All offices and all managers have the contact details of that particular team. When that such a case is reported, we, you know, I almost use the jargon, but a death registration form is submitted with a copy of an ID of the ID of the deceased person who is a victim of the duplication. It is faxed to that particular number and it is attended to. The turnaround time there is 24 to 48 hours. So where there are escalation procedures in place in case there is a delay on such cases, but there is a dedicated team. It's not your ordinary duplicate. I think what delays the process is if it's sent along the stream, but and not to the dedicated team. But those particulars are available. And moving on to the next, the issue of Marabastad, maybe just to respond to the question why Crown Mines was closed. Unfortunately, Honorable McIntosh is not here. But Crown Mines was closed because where we were located in an industrial environment at Crown Mines. And you know, the neighboring industries, you have the motor industry, you have, I think there were some factories, there were some retailers. They were uncomfortable with the kind of clients that come to access refugee services or asylum seeker services. And therefore, you know, their complaints were around the general hygiene of our clients. And various other things, which are things that really, you know, were outside the control of the department. We rarely sought ways of trying to contain our clients, but how do you manage demand in that kind of an environment? We can never predict how many people will come on a particular day. We started implementing the appointment system, but the numbers continue to grow and grow, and hence it's important for us to actually address this problem at the root. Because we have now seen that the system is being abused. So we need to make sure that we take the right policy decisions that address this problem in the long term. But our neighbors, the business community began to feel aggrieved. And there was a petition. In fact, the matter even went to court. And there was a court order court order issued for, you know, for the Department of Home Affairs to close down the crown mines. So it's not because we were denying anybody the service, but we had to comply with the court order, and the arrangement we had was to, you know, we had to consider various things. I mean, there are issues of staff, there are assets that must be moved, there are, you know, there are resources, there are even clients that must be serviced. So all those were taken into consideration when the move was made to Maraba Sadat, and that relocation has taken place. We have a management structure there, and they are continuing to process. Even the files that were taken in at Crown Mines, there is a, you know, process in place in that office to make sure that, you know, those files are finalized. Yes, and then the other one was around immigrant profiles. Gauteng, there was a question around the population density in Gauteng. What is our turnaround strategy as a province? Basically, it's to say, I think it's a problem that affects the entire government. Even local government is quite concerned about these informal human settlement patterns that bring about, I guess, the mushrooming of these informal settlements. I think I think it's a problem across all government. But however, what are we doing? We are, you know, addressing the matter through our stakeholder forums to say, when you know they should, in their wards, if there is a new informal settlement, they should assist us in terms of surveying, you know, who settles in those informal settlements. Are they South African citizens? If not, what is their legality in the country? In fact, that's where we come in as Home Affairs, to determine their status in the country, in trying to address this, you know, this issue of undocumented persons in our communities. So that's basically how we are doing it. We have adopted what we call a ward-based service delivery model, whereby we interface with stakeholders not only at a municipality level, but we drill it down to the ward. You know, that's why we have such close relations with the ward councillor, the ward committee members, the community development worker who operates in that environment, the NGOs, the home-based cares, community-based organizations, so that they can be our eyes and ears, so that they can alert us if there is any irregularity in that environment. And there was a question around Lindela. Lindela, like OR Tambo, is one of the entities that report directly to head office. Mm-hmm. So when head office comes, they will deliver a report. But just to explain what Lindela is, it is our deportation center. So our, you know, your far out provinces would bring foreign nationals that were arrested that need to be deported to their far out countries. Because what we do, what our inspectorate does, or our immigration officers do on a daily basis, to countries where we can conduct direct deportations, we do that. But there are countries where, you know, that are far from our borders, where we cannot conduct direct deportations, and that's where they are held while we are, you know, organizing their paperwork through their embassies and arrange for the deportation. And I think I covered most of the questions. I don't know if there's any other addition that Director of Finance would like to make.
Good day, and the members of the Portfolio Committee. I will touch on the revenue, the high revenue that is being collected. In the decision was taken that in the high revenue generating offices, senior admin officers responsible for finance will be then appointed. We are in the process of finalizing those appointments for Gauteng. We have six of those administrative officers that will be appointed soon. So we have taken measures to address the revenue and making sure that there will be controls and monitoring. In terms of the asset register, how can four offices be chosen to be audited by Auditor General? One of those offices which was found in all respects, one office had just one item that was found on the register that was found on the floor that was not on the register. The other office had three items that were on the register, not on the floor, and items that were moved without the movement form. Those are the issues that we are looking at addressing with the office managers, to make sure that, because one of those items was the terminal sitting for the client, it broke. So immediately they took it out, but later on they did not come back and do the movement form of that terminal sitting. It was not going to be in the interest of everybody, it was a broken chain also. The other item on the asset register was items that they found not to be in working condition, but in our register were indicated and said. I think we had about 9 or 10 of those items, but in all those 9 or 10 items, when we went back to the register, they were indicated as not in good condition. So there was an error in the part of AG in making that linkage between what they had seen and what was indicated on the register. That was as far as the asset register. The margin of the error when it comes to those assets that we found on the floor that were not on the register was very small. It wouldn't cause the department to have a qualification. Thank you.
Next problem, that is it.
Sorry,
before the next province chairperson. My question on the security, the incompetent security system was not answered. What I wanted to know is, what do you mean by security system? Are you referring to the security company? Because if it's the security company, what you can do is just to dismiss and appoint the other company.
My apologies. Yes, I had noted the question. We have outsourced security services, and there is a service level agreement between the department and the security company. And where there is theft under their watch, we do take action. We have actually, there are actually claims that have been submitted to the company. With respect to the break-ins that we've had in some of the offices, in fact, just to mention Mamelodi, I know that there's definitely a process. So we are enforcing the service level agreement. We are not at all tolerating, the losses that we are experiencing. And should it be, to the extent that we can no longer, have relations with that security company, we are prepared to also terminate. So, yes. Thank you.
Pumalanga.
Thanks, Chairperson. There was a question with regards to why are numbers of deportees higher at the beginning of the year, and they reduced towards the year or towards the end of the year. One can say there are security structures who are monitoring the situation, and as and when they realize that there is a huge influx, then they clamp on the numbers or the deportees that are coming through the area, or the people that are coming illegally into the country. So that shows a reduction towards the end of the year. But at the beginning of the year, another factor that can be cited is the issue that people, when coming back from Christmas, they bring along other people that are illegal or clandestinely into the country.
and our security structures are now aware, and we are working cooperatively, and we stage some roadblocks, and we are able to clamp down on this on the trends. There was another question as to how many casual workers or temporary workers are there at the border post. I can say there is none. All members that are all, working for us are permanently appointed. There was another question. We said, what is in place to overcome the shortage at Libombo? There are requests on the table, and the department is currently taking a decision on whereby the requests are that we should extend the operational hours at Libombo to be at 24 hours. There you also consider the space in which you are working, whether you will be able to can accommodate more people, or will you have enough personnel. We have a staff establishment which is being looked at, but its people are being appointed incrementally. They cannot be appointed at once because of the financial resource constraints. Also that immigration is being professionalized. The department is looking at this, and we are looking forward to the appointment that will be done soon in terms of the immigration officers. There was another question with regards to the monitoring of corruption at Libombo. I can say there is a BCOCC, the Border Control Coordinating Committee, which meets on a fortnight basis, which looks at the operations at the border post itself and bring about some recommendations. However, the borderline itself is not the responsibility of the Department of Home Affairs. However, we cannot just look at, we raise our concerns as well. But the responsibility department is the SANDF. Members will remember that at some stage, the SAPS took over, but it was realized that the SANDF can do a better job than SAPS. So they are back, SAPS is back, monitoring the Mozambique border. But there is still an influx through the Swazi border because they are not yet occupying that area. However, we are looking at that, and as I say, the security members or security cluster is looking at all the corruption that is taking place at Libombo. This can be evidenced by the clampdown on corruption last week, as I mentioned. The issue of queue stretching for 9 kilometers, I did indicate that yes, we are looking at a 24-hour service. There was also a question as to who determines the opening of new offices by the honorable member that left. You can say during 2008, the department commissioned a study by the CSIR to identify the footprint of the department, and as a result, we are working on those recommended areas which were recommended by the CSIR to the department, that the offices shouldn't be 50 kilometers far apart, and that a traveler shouldn't take more than 30 minutes traveling to a Home Affairs office. Hence, we are opening up the offices in terms of those recommendations. In terms of staff appointments, the 67 that I mentioned are these natural attrition posts where people resign, where people die, and also where people are dismissed during due to corruption and so on. We have appointed the most senior posts in the department in Mpumalanga, like the issue, the appointment of the financial director. We have appointed also four SAOs who will be responsible for finances. We have appointed 51 front office clerks, four hospitals hospital clerks who will be at the hospitals. So we are still moving forward to appoint the 67 that are seen not to have been appointed up to so far. However, with regards to immigration officers, I did indicate that the department is also looking at the professionalizing of the immigration cadre, and we will be informed and we'll appoint people when it is due. There was also a concern raised with regards to the highest structure in Mpumalanga uploaded by males. It's something beyond my control, but it was said earlier on that the department is looking into that and it's being addressed. That's why maybe the appointment in Mpumalanga for a provincial manager was stalled due to the fact that there were no female candidates suitable for the position, and we believe appointments will be done soon. And I'm sorry, Chair, that we are both males from Mpumalanga in this room. But there is, though, a director who's female, but is currently at head office for a certain project. We could have blended our delegation. But it's being looked at, and we hope in the near future there will be ladies will be seen also coming from Mpumalanga. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. And members, I would want to add the issue of the parties. I think they are the first question for us is, I think I highlighted when I was doing my presentation, that yes, we've been audited. Only one item, which was a typing error. The asset numbers is 7. Then we put extra 1. Then we're starting here. That's the only one that is the query on the auditors out of 60. We did very well because they tested from the register against the floor. They found everything 100% from the floor to the register, except that one item. With regard to the monitoring tool, with regard to the revenue, what we did in the Mpumalanga, we put this as a spend items for all the management meetings where the office managers reported the revenue received and also must indicate the revenue banked on a daily basis. This sample, even though maybe you can't see all of it, is a sample of the template for management meeting. With regard to the office that collected a lot of money, we've got a company called G4S. They collect money on a daily basis and they do banking on our behalf. They give us the deposit book on a daily basis. Coming to the issue of the expenditure, saying that when the issue of goods and services high, I indicated that the statistics which we took, it was cut off 24th of August. And for that period is 5 months, which come to 42%. It shows that we are underspending even though on the goods and services by 8%. And then the compensation of employees is 29% underspent. I think the issue of not filling the post with regard to compensation of employees, before June, we were sending it 108 vacant post, even though now we sent 41 have been filled for front office clerks. you can see a lot of money didn't go through on the expenditure part. Now we're still sitting with about 67 port. We're supposed to be in expenditure on a monthly basis. With that, yes, I agree to say the expenditure in Mpumalanga is very low, in overall of 27%. But with regard to the goods and services, in my meeting, I also had the issue to say the office manager now must go back to their business plan, check in the operational plan, and then they must start with their procurement plan. Is the item that now will be in there in the minutes. Hopefully they will do something in the second quarter. Then we'll see the improvement. I think that was all for finances. Let me see something that I left out. Thank you.
Thank you, Daddy. Honorable members, we have come to the end of our meeting. I'm not sure if the Major would like to say something, but I think the time is very much against us. That it's almost 25 past 1, and I'm not sure if members want to go for their lunch, and by quarter to 2, bells will be ringing. You don't have much time. That is why I felt I should be strict on time and questions, and Honorable Lavo was very much against it, but it helped at least. Every member managed to ask a question, and all the questions were responded to. I would like to thank our officials from the provinces for the work that they are doing, and to further say that the issue of the assets register was raised by the Auditor General, hence the Portfolio Committee wants the matter to be addressed so that next time we get a better, is it a qualified report or unqualified clean report, something like that, yeah. So that is why we raise some of